Hello, everybody, and happy Sunday afternoon to all you fine folks listening out there in Radio Land. Adam MacDonald broadcasting live on the St. Lucie Mets Baseball Network, coming to you from hot and sunny Fort Myers, Florida, Hammond Stadium, site of today's series finale and regular season finale for the St. Lucie Mets and the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles, the single-A affiliate of the Minnesota Twins. The reason I emphasize the word sunny is because we are delayed because there might have been a chance of rain. Give me a break. What a way to start the last game of the regular season. A completely unneeded, unnecessary 25-minute delayed start because there was a little dot 10 miles south on the radar when all you had to do was look around behind where that potential rain was and see nothing but sunny skies. But that's par for the course for this series. It's been a series of many, many delays, postponements. Finally, yesterday, the Mets and Mighty Muscles were able to play undisturbed. 14 total innings, a doubleheader, a great day for the St. Lucie Mets, one of their best days all season. The doubleheader road sweep, that's tough to accomplish, especially late in the season. Mets winning 5-2 in game one, and then 3-1 in game two. That victory in game two ensured the Mets of a winning second half, so they become the only Florida State League team of the 10 to have a first half and a second half with winning records. So good for the St. Lucie Mets. And today, the final game of the regular season, last tune-up before the postseason, which starts on Tuesday against the Palm Beach Cardinals. Once again, first pitch coming up at 1:25. Mets enter the day 73-55, so they can max out at 74 wins and 19 games over 500. They are 33-30 in the second half. Fort Myers is 68-59, so with the win, the Muscles can finish the regular season 10 games above 500, and they are 27-36 in the second half. The East was decided for certain earlier in the week. Palm Beach won the first half. The Cardinals are 37-27. They await the Mets on Tuesday. Jupiter won a game earlier today, the final game of the season for the Hammerheads. They'll finish the second half 29-36, and Daytona is in last. And they've been in last basically all season. In the West, it's finally going to be decided on the last day. Bradenton trails Dunedin by half a game. Both those teams playing right now. And go figure, both games are in rain delays. Bradenton losing by a couple of runs in Clearwater early. And Dunedin and Palm Beach scoreless in the bottom of the second. If they both get rained out, then Dunedin is going to win by half a game. So we'll see what happens as the day goes on there. Tampa eliminated Lakeland despite a strong finish, eliminated Fort Myers in second to last in the West. Clearwater will finish dead last. With that, we'll take a break. When we come back, we will have the starting pitching matchup and the lineups for today's season finale between the Mets and the Muscles.
All Smiles Dentistry is a locally owned and operated dental practice with five convenient Treasure Coast locations. At All Smiles Dentistry, we are proud to announce that we now offer a five-year warranty on most services at no extra charge. As always, we are committed to providing the highest quality dental care for you and your entire family. Call 888-SMILE-07 today for details and a no-obligation consultation. That's 888-SMILE-07.
Dr. Michael C. Solomon is a doctor who cares and always puts his patients first. He's a board-certified surgeon with over 16 years of experience. He has a great medical staff that's compassionate and knowledgeable. If you're in pain or suffer extreme discomfort from kidney stones, prostate or bladder problems, erectile dysfunction, or any other urological problems, call Solomon Urology. Dr. Solomon offers the most current medical and surgical alternatives to resolve your urologic problems.
Now let's get back to the action.
Welcome back to Hammond Stadium for the Last game of the season, game 129 for the Mets, 128 for Fort Myers, 4 canceled games for the Muscles, and 3 canceled games for the Mets, including 1 this series. Let's get to the starting pitching matchup. For Fort Myers, it's Nicklas Rimmel. He's been a reliever all season, so he gets his first start of the year. It'll be his 29th game with Fort Myers. He is 4-1 with a 2.13 ERA. He does have 4 saves, only 38 innings, 27 hits, 14 runs, 19 walks, and 48 strikeouts. My understanding is Fort Myers, with all the rain out, has a few pitchers that they want to get into today's game and get some action before the postseason, so it'll be a short outing for Rimmel, who, like yesterday's Game 1 starter, Jordan Carr, is going to be way late. I mean, he's still in the bullpen warming up. He's had plenty of time to get ready on time, and he has not done so. But nothing starts on time here in Fort Myers. Starting pitcher for the Mets, it's Yoander Suarez, making his 4th appearance for St. Lucie in his 2nd start, coming off of a season where he missed most of it due to Tommy John surgery. It's a 3.60 and an 0-1 record. Just 10 innings, 15 hits, and 4 earned runs for Suarez with 4 walks and 13 strikeouts. He was on the mound last Sunday for the Mets and pitched really well. 4 innings, 5 hits, just 1 run, no walks, love to see that, and 5 strikeouts. And that Mets' eventual 8-3 win over Jupiter, and he did not get a decision in. So Suarez versus Rimmel, your starting pitching matchup. The lineups will begin with the Mets. Leading off and playing left is Tanner Murphy. Kevin Parada will DH and bat second. Junior Tillian hits third. He's at short. Chase Estep bats cleanup. He's the third baseman. Carlos Dominguez is in right, hitting fifth. Raul Berciarta, one of the heroes in Game 2 yesterday, bats sixth. He's at first. Oscar Campos is the minor league rehabbing catcher. Kevin Kendall is the minor league rehabbing outfielder. He's in center. And Brad Malm is batting ninth. He's at second. For the Mighty Muscles, Misael Urbina is the DH, hitting leadoff. He's had a terrible series. Tanner Schobel bats second and plays second. Ben Ross bats third. He's at short. Kalei Rosario hits cleanup. He's in right. Rubel Cespedes is the first baseman batting fifth. Gianni Cavaco is at third base hitting sixth. Nate Baez bats seventh. He's the catcher. Ricardo Olivar is in left field, and Luis Baez is in center field. And that is how the Muscles and the Mets stack up. Now, Rimmel has finally finished his bullpen session, and now he's disappeared into the Muscles' third base dugout and should be coming out in a few minutes. And we can finally get the season finale going, the unnecessary delayed start. Should be a good weather day, one would think. It's a strong chance of severe storms around 6 o'clock. Hopefully, we are not playing that late into the evening. Like I said earlier, there's already one game in the Florida State League done. That was Jupiter beating Lakeland 4-0 to finish on a 4-game losing streak. That game started at 10 a.m. That's the ticket right there. Last game of the season started at 10 a.m. Get Lakeland out of there. Jupiter can get out of here tonight as well. And then on the contrasting side, you have Tampa at Daytona today. Two teams also eliminated from the postseason. That's a 5:35 start. That's just terrible. 5:35 on the last day of the season. Poor Tarpons. I'm going to play that game past 8 o'clock at night. By the time they get back to Tampa, it's going to be around midnight. And by that point, you might as well just wait until tomorrow to start sending guys on their way. And we wait. And we wait. And we wait for the Muscles to finally grace us with their presence on the field. First pitch was supposed to be 24 minutes ago. Then they rerouted to 125, and because the pitcher can't warm up on time, that's not going to start on time either. Trying to keep it positive here, but there's a good level of snark right now in the visiting broadcast booth. I think they just had to play the intro song twice over. They did. That's how long it took Rimmel to get it together. So he's on the field finally, as are the rest of the muscles, everybody else trickling out of the dugouts, lining the field for one national anthem in the regular season. Now, when we come back, we will have first pitch, the last game in 2022 in the regular season.
We ask you to please rise and remove your caps as we join Major League Baseball, Minor League Baseball, the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles, and the St. Lucie Mets. We remember those whose lives were lost on September 11, 2001, and those who died from illnesses obtained at Ground Zero. We pay tribute to them and to the men and women who serve our country as we honor the pledge, we shall not forget. Please join us as we observe a moment of silence. Thank you. Please remain standing and join us for the playing of our national anthem.
A nice moment of silence on the 21st anniversary of 9/11/01. I know it's an emotional day for a lot of folks, especially those affiliated with the New York Mets. I know so many people were changed forever that day. There was a very nice ceremony back home at Clover Park this morning. As retired members of the FDNY and NYPD led a memorial service at Clover Park's World Trade Center Memorial, which is out in front of the stadium, a piece of the World Trade Center, has been there for decades now. Roses laid for members of those squads and ladders who were lost. So, on a day where this broadcaster is aggravated because of the unnecessary delay, in the bigger picture, just to be playing baseball, having the freedoms we do, that's the most important thing of all. All right, here we go. Under sunny skies, ready for game 129 out of 129. Last tune-up for the Mets and for the Mighty Muscles, who will begin their playoffs on Tuesday. Mets trying to enter the postseason on a three-game winning streak. Also for the Mets, if they win this game, that means that they will have a winning record or a .500 record against seven of the eight teams they faced off against this season. Didn't play Bradenton. Maybe could play Bradenton next Sunday in game one of the championship series. Not the Mets winning records against Lakeland, Daytona, Clearwater, .500 records currently against Fort Myers, Dunedin, and Tampa. All right, first pitch is on the way from Rimmel, and it's a strike, Tanner Murphy. At long last, we are underway. First pitch, 129, and it is 88 degrees and mostly sunny. Welcome aboard. Let's make it a good one. The last one in the 2022 regular season campaign. Murphy takes a second strike from Rimmel. Again, making his first start of the season. It'll be a short outing, and he throws a slider right across the plate for strike three. And Murphy takes three strikes in a row. Oh, he wants the challenge. This is a very late challenge, and it is a strike.
The call is challenged and ruled a strike.
I'm going to say he was leaving the batter's box, and as he did it, challenged. It's kind of the sign of knowing that it was a strike, right? I'm convinced it was a ball. Usually you just stay in there. Murphy's had a tough series. Hopefully getting all the bad at-bats out of the way. Here's Kevin Parada, the DH, played in one of the two games yesterday. Caught the first game, went 1-for-3. The single, a walk, and a run, so a good day. Slider for a strike. Looked like it might have been just off the plate, but it's 0-2. No challenge, not after the first one. Fastball away. Home plate umpire is Rob Ginther. Joe Crone is in the field. If you go on yesterday, the rotation should be Ginther in the field and Crone behind the plate, but Crone a replacement umpire. So they'd rather have him in the field. This pitch is fouled away. Rimmel's pitches outside, 2-2. And this is what Parada does. Gets in a hole early and then battles back. 2-2 pitch. He takes it for strike three, and he will immediately challenge. And that's burning through challenges here as this one is a strike. Whoa, so the Mets, two batters in the game, are down to their last challenge. So back-to-back strikeouts looking to start the game for the Muscles. Well, one last challenge, use wisely. Or, you know what, just use it whenever you want. If you lose it, so be it. Junior Tillian will send one up the middle. That will get stopped by the second baseman, Schoble. Throws to first, soft bounce right to Cespedes. That is a tremendous play. Taking away a hit from Tillian. Schoble had a nice series. Mets down in order in the top of the first. No wonder Suarez on the mound when we come back.
Best tailgate, brisket.
No, real football y pollo asado.
Hoops and wings.
Dude, subs.
Hot dogs.
Chili dog.
No, Dodger dog.
It's gotta be crawfish.
Now you talk burgers.
Seven-layer dip.
Ribs.
No contest.
Hummus.
What?
You need a hot grill.
And ice-cold Coke.
Of course.
Football and Coke. Come on.
It's got to be Coke.
Game day.
Race day.
Calls for Coke.
You know it.
Grab yourself a Coke.
It's Tailgate 101.
Tomorrow's a big day. It's the reason you kissed the kids and got in the cab this morning. It's why they invented energy drinks. It's why you joined Toastmasters and floss religiously. Tomorrow's why you haven't eaten dairy or broccoli in a week. If it weren't for tomorrow, those business cards you order would seem kind of silly. Tomorrow's big, and at Hilton Garden Inn, we know every big day will go much better with a perfect night before. When tomorrow's a big day, stay HGI tonight.
Hey fans, do you know your Mud Hens from your Trash Pandas? Then play Minor League Rundown, the official free-to-play game of Minor League Baseball, and compete for tickets and game day experiences. Rundown is made for masters of ballpark trivia. Playing is free and easy on any mobile device. Just head on over to www.ballyplay.com to sign up and play. Return for each open round to vie for more prizes, including the grand prize, to attend Championship Weekend in Las Vegas this October. It's never been this fun to get caught in a rundown.
Let's go back to the field.
And Wander Suarez delivers first pitch low and away for ball one. It's funny, it looked like the same place that Prada took a called third strike. Batter is Misael Urbina. There's a fastball away at 92. Urbina, 0-for-14 with 6 strikeouts and a double play. He's just had a brutal series. And he is the top prospect on this Fort Myers team, at least in the lineup. And there's a sharp slider away, and at 86, it's 3-0. And there's a strike, and Urbina walking towards first will come back. And he will not use a challenge, not with the 3-0 count. No score. So we start the home first inning. Slider missed away. Ball four. So Suarez nibbles and walks the first batter. Mets have walked a ton in this series. Their 23rd walk in the now 28th inning. And they walked 12 and 14 innings yesterday. Remarkably survived because they limited Fort Myers to a 3-for-18 effort with runners in scoring position. Played with fire, did not get burned. Here's a strike delivered to Schoble. Schoble looks like a really good player out of Virginia Tech. Former college teammates with yesterday's Game 2 Met starter, Jordan Gieber. Schoble had 2 of the 3 hits in yesterday's Game 2 for Fort Myers. And he takes the curveball down and away. Last start of the season for Suarez. Figure maybe he could be used for Game 3 on Friday, if necessary, or a possible Game 1 right back here next week. There's a snap throw to first base. Tag is not in time. Urbina gets back in there. Pitch was nowhere close to the strike zone. It was ball two. Good throw by Campos. Couldn't get the out. Suarez will make a pickoff throw to Bercierta at first. That takes Bercierta way off the bag, but he got it. That's disengagement number one. Big lead for Urbina. Not running as this changeup gets right over the plate at 85, leaving the count 2 balls and 2 strikes. Schoble in the series 4-for-10. 2 doubles. And that great defensive play to end the top of the first. And he reaches for this pitch and fouls it away. Stays alive. Count remains 2 balls and 2 strikes. Got a light crowd here. Most are sitting in the last few rows of the stands under the short overhanging roof here at Hammond Stadium. Not the colossal concrete roof we have at Clover Park, but there's enough space for folks under there. Here's a ground ball base hit into left field. Schoble with his 5th hit and 11 at-bats in the series. Elevated fastball, he knocks it to left, and the first two have reached for Fort Myers. And a walk and a single. And Ben Ross will come up. He's had a good series, 4-for-13 with a home run. Suarez a slider, a strike 86 on the outer half. No score, 2 on, nobody out, bottom one. Slider away. 1 ball, 1 strike. Suarez was the Mets' opening day starter in 2021, but did not last very long before going down with an elbow injury and Tommy John surgery. He missed most of last year and most of this year. He's been built up to over 50 pitches here at the end. Again, he could be in line for a Game 1 Championship Series start, which would be next Sunday, either here at Fort Myers or up the road in Bradenton or Dunedin. There's a pitch up high. Time called, a balk called. That's curious because Suarez wasn't looking at either runner or trying to get either out. So just a misstep on the rubber. Pitch does not count. It's 2-1 as opposed to 3-1, but the runners advance. Big curveball. First curveball of the day. Slow Uncle Charlie at 74 miles an hour. Over for strike two. Seeing the slider has not been that effective in the early going, but that curveball was pretty. Change up, poked into right field. That's a fair ball. Ross will drive in Urbina and Schobel, and Ross will hustle for second, and he's got a two-run double. It's a pretty good poke by Ross. Just threw the bat hit out there, dunked it into shallow right field, right near the line. So Fort Myers comes out charging here in the last game of the season. And starting pitcher gets the Mets 1-2-3. And then in the bottom of the first inning, the first three have reached, the first two have scored. And they're in great shape to get Ross in, too, with a runner on second and nobody out. A very good start for Suarez last week, and he's off to a slow start this week. Here's Kalei Rosario. He takes ball one off the plate. Looks like the Mets might get some movement around in the bullpen. There's a lot of Mets relievers who could use some work before the playoffs. Suarez has the pitch count driving up and does not have an out under his belt yet. There was this one down and away to Rosario. Well, he has not been getting ahead of hitters early in counts, so that has not been helpful for him. He's definitely shied away from the strike zone here to Rosario as this slider is a foot off the plate, and it's 3-0. Except for that curveball, he has basically refused to come inside. He's not pitching inside at all. And all either off the plate outside or middle of the plate. And this pitch down and away at 92 for ball four. Four pitch walk. Walk, single, double, walk. That's how the game has begun for Suarez. And Rubel Cespedes will bat, but not before Victor Ramos, Mets pitching coach, goes and pays a visit. Let's check in on that North series. Again, Dunedin leads Bradenton by half a game with only today to play. And both games, it looked like, remain in a rain delay. Bradenton down 2-0 in the top of the third on the road to Clearwater. And Palm Beach is at Dunedin, no score in the bottom of the second. Again, it appears that both games are delayed. I wish the portal would tell you that. And it just kind of has it stuck in the inning. Mound visit is over. Cespedes at the plate, and he swings and misses at a changeup. Well below the zone. Wish somebody kept track of that. It's too many things for me to keep track of, but how many times a batter swings at a first pitch coming out of a mound visit? As this changeup is better for a strike at 86. It's 0-2. 0-2 pitch, curveball, pulled foul. Just the second curve. First and second, nobody out. Two runs already in. Long bottom of the first unfolding as this ball is fisted foul, a late swing by Cespedes to stay alive. It was Suarez's 23rd pitch of the inning. It's doubtful at this point. He's got to get a double play. He's got to get a strikeout here and a double play. Otherwise, he's just going to run out of allotted pitches. 0-2 curveball. That one spoiled foul as well. And it's the last two are heading to the upper reaches of the stands where everybody is focused. Josh Cornelius has not made an appearance in a week. It's a long time for a reliever, is the one throwing in the bullpen. O2 pitch, that one's fouled away. And that one caught a piece of the umpire. He'll walk it off. So Suarez is definitely throwing strikes at this bat. He's not throwing a ball, but Cespedes just won't go down. O2 pitch, another ground ball foul. Change up again. Not sure there's a pitch that Suarez hasn't thrown in this at bat. O2 pitch, can you guess what happened? It's fouled off. Cespedes, 2-for-9 in the series with 3 strikeouts and a walk. He's played in 3 of the 4 games. 0-2, that one's blooped foul as well. E-step on the run into the dugout. So another foul, and Cespedes remains alive. I'd say, you know, Suarez just throwing to the backstop or in the dirt, but with runners on first and second, you know, you can't do that with wild pitch possibility. Curveball, fouled away. This is ridiculous. I believe that was the 11th pitch of that bat, and there's still not a ball. O2, foul. Jeez. Straight back. This might be the last batter. Pitch count's going to be right around 30. And Suarez coming back on Tommy John. They let him go too much further. 0-2 to Cespedes again. Hey, we got a ball. Down and in. And Robbie Robinson, is he going to make the move right now? Yeah, he is. Well, first time for everything. And, well, he hasn't made the move yet. He's got a hand on the shoulder of Suarez. But, yeah, this is it. He's got to. This is the second mound visit of the inning, and it's not an injury related. So this is unbelievable. Let's see. Let's count them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 pitch at bat under on the for Cespedes. And it's going to span now 2 pitchers. So Yoander Suarez, possibly his last appearance of 2022, does not get an out. Surrenders 2 runs. He's responsible for 2 more. And for his sake, hopefully he can pitch again late next week against Palm Beach. So Cornelius is going to come in and deliver the 13th pitch of that bat to Cespedes. And when he come back, it's a 1-2 count.
Hey, fans, get ready for some big league savings from Tire Kingdom. We are swinging for the fences with our lowest tire price guarantee on this all-star lineup of tire brands featuring Michelin, Nitto, Cooper, and more. Plus, visit TireKingdom.com today for a coupon good for a $21.99 conventional oil change or $20 off a synthetic blend or full synthetic oil. Step up to the plate and slide into Tire Kingdom, proud sponsor of 2022 spring training.
Hi, I'm Chief John Bolduc of the Port St. Lucie Police Department. The City Council voted to reduce the speed limit in all of our residential neighborhoods. The Police Department is going to be taking part in this to help educate the drivers. Then we will be enhancing our enforcement actions in residential neighborhoods.
Can you drive the speed limit? Because I walk in the dark to my bus stop.
I walk to school and you drive to work.
My friends and I like to play ball in the yard.
I like to walk my dog.
The baseball season may start in St. Lucie, Florida, but with an average temperature of 77 degrees, 21 miles of pristine beaches, more than 20 world-class golf courses, and miles of lush nature trails, there's something for the whole family to enjoy. St. Lucie is home to year-round warm sunshine, blue skies, and turquoise blue water, so there's never a bad time to plan your next vacation. Visit stlucie.com/mets to get started. St. Lucie, Florida, where the season never ends.
You're listening to the St. Lucie Mets Baseball Network.
Josh Cornelli ready with the 1-2 pitch to Cespedes. 13th pitch of that bat. Never seen this before. And Cespedes hits it high and deep to right, and that will hook. Foul. Whoa. It was way out. All Dominguez and Wright could do is turn and watch. That's the 10th foul ball they had bat. By Cespedes. Oh. Not an out yet. He swings and misses at the changeup. For all that, down on 14 pitches. Finally, out number one of the inning. Now here's Keone Cavaco. Has two home runs in the series. First round pick by Minnesota in 2019. First and second, one down. Ground ball to short, hit pretty slowly. Throw to first by Tillian. Going to be in time to get the runner at first, Cavaco. And too slowly for a double play, so Tillian makes the only play he can. Moves Ross to third and Rosario to second. And a rocky inning for the Mets. Two runs in before there was an out recorded, but an opportunity to limit that damage to just two runs. Nate Baez will hit. And he takes the change of 84, strike one. Suarez threw 32 pitches, got nobody out. Two hits, two walks, and the epic at-bat by Cespedes. A strikeout awarded to Cornelli as the slider misses, and a challenge by Campos. Striker ball, what's it going to be? Strike. So the Mets down to their last challenge, already in the bottom of the first inning. Use it. It works for a strike, and now they retain the one. 0-2 on Bias, and a good sliding stop by Campos to prevent a wild pitch. There's two Biases to keep a track of. There's Nate, and two batters later, Luis. This Bias is 2-for-8 in the series with a couple of singles. 1-2 pitch from Cornelli, slugged deep left field, and this one's gone. A two-out, three-run homer for Nate Baez on the hanging slider to the corner of the berm in left field. And that makes it 5-0 Mighty Muscles. So, Cornelius strike away from limiting the damage to two. gives up the long ball, and now it's 5-0. Last inning of the first game is a forgettable one for the Mets. Cornelius certainly given up his fair share of home runs this season. He cut that down over the summer after giving up a lot of home runs early, cut it down over the summer, but gave up a big one last week, game-tying two-run homer in his previous appearance and late in the game. And this one gives one up early in this appearance. That brings home Ross, Rosario, and Baez. First pitch foul off by Olivar. Been playing almost half an hour now, and we're still in the first inning. And as Fort Myers is sending its eighth hitter to the plate. And this ball is floated foul over by the rolled-up tarp. Wonder how much that very unexpected and unnecessary rain delay. I can't even call it a rain delay. It was a sun delay. Some kind of delay affected Suarez as this ball is shot into center field. I mean, he's all geared up for a 1 o'clock first pitch, and he's got to wait 30 minutes, probably wondering what's going on. He struggles, can't get an out in the first, and now Cornelius struggling to finish it off. He's given up a 3-run homer and a single back-to-back. And now Baez will hit the other Baez. He's 0-for-1 in this series. A couple of walks. Slider too high, ball one. He can close the book on Suarez now. He got no outs, gave up two hits, and 4 runs with 2 walks, no strikeouts, through 32 pitches, 19 strikes. ERA over doubles. And a swing and a miss by Baez, and it's 1-1. Slider cranked deep left field, but hooking foul. The home run for Baez came on the aforementioned hanging slider right down the middle. Exit velocity was 104 miles per hour. Launch angle low 22 degrees and distance 374 feet. And for Baez, that was his second home run for Fort Myers this year. Cornelius pitch runs inside, nearly hits Luis Baez. Two-two, ground ball out to short. Tough play. Tillian scoops, throws to second. That forces out the runner there, and the inning is over. But a good one for Fort Myers. All 9 come to the plate. 5 runs score. They are off to a hot start. Long way to go in this one. 5-0 Muscles going to the second inning.
Today begins a new journey. Not only will you learn something new and elevate your opportunities, but you'll also discover your purpose.
I'm finding a way to serve my community at Indian River State College.
My nursing degree will go to work where it's needed most.
Using my hands, I can make a dream career come true.
Start a new life-changing chapter with Indian River State College. Visit irsc.edu to learn more.
Beer, Nathan's Famous Hot Dogs, hamburgers, chicken fingers, french fries, and more. Find all your favorite ballpark fare at one of our fully stocked concession stands on the concourse. Be sure to stop by the new Jim Beam Bourbon Bar in left field to grab a rum bucket or delicious cocktail. Enjoy the game the way it was meant to be, with an ice cold beverage in hand and a full belly.
Hi, I'm Brandon Nimmo of the New York Mets. I don't want anything to stop me from being at my best on the field. That's why I don't use tobacco. Using tobacco can cause shortness of breath and make your heart beat 3 times faster than normal. And that can slow you down and take you out of the game. Be like me. Choose to be tobacco-free and be at your best both on and off the field. Be strong, be healthy, be tobacco-free. For more information, visit tobaccofreeflorida.com or call 1-877-YOU-CAN-NOW.
This is St. Lucie Mets Baseball.
Big day in sports today as the minor league season comes to an end for single-A teams and high-A teams, and that's the big story in sports today, right? Nothing else going on? Oh, yeah. I think the NFL kicked up today. Technically, it started on Thursday, but I don't think it really starts until Sunday. What the heck is going on? They just announced Mighty Muscles batter Chase Easttep. No, he plays for the Mets, and he flies one into the sun towards Olivar, who makes the catch. It was not easy. Momentum took him onto the warning track, and Easttep is a long flyout to start the top of the second against Rimmel. He got a nice long rest. As his offense sent nine to the plate and put up five. Yep, big day, NFL getting going. In full. A lot of 1 o'clock games. Really was hoping for that 10 a.m. start time when the schedule came out way back when. Now my beloved Patriots stinking it up in Miami. I didn't think they'd be very good this year. When I saw that they were in Miami week one, I said, oh, well, I got to work, so I don't have to go to the game. There's Carlos Dominguez at the plate, takes a ball, and then swings through a strike. Dominguez in a home run chase. I got to check that out. Did Manuel Sequeira hit one today as Dominguez strikes out on the next pitch? Two up, two down in the inning. Five up, five down. Yeah, Dominguez ended, has 20 on the season. He's been stuck on 20 for weeks now since the series in Lakeland over 3 weeks ago. But Lakeland got shut out today 4-0. So Manuel Sequeira did not homer. He finishes with 19. So here's your Florida State League home run champion. Or there he was. Dominguez back in the dugout now, but third in the league was Omar De Los Santos, and he's obviously done for the regular season, so I won't catch him. And Dominguez will finish with 20 in the team, and the league lead. Raul Berciarte grounds out softly to second, and that concludes the top of the second. Six straight Mets retired by Rimmel to start the day. 5-0 Fort Myers, and the Muscles will bat next.
Tutto Fresco Restaurant and Patio Grill, located at the entrance to PGA Village, offers regional Italian cuisine accompanied by an extensive selection of wine and spirits. We feature traditional Italian recipes from various regions of Italy, celebrating our owner's family heritage. Our goal is to provide an authentic Italian dining experience with uncompromising service. Tutto Fresco, a slice of Italy in the heart of the Treasure Coast.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org. See you in Cooperstown, where the journey becomes legend.
The biggest Mets fan is also the biggest fan of adventures in St. Lucie, Florida. Mr. Met wants your family to visit St. Lucie for epic home runs, eating hot dogs at the park, walking through art spaces, rounding the beaches, or just sliding into vacation bliss. Start planning now at visitstlucie.com/Mets. St. Lucie, Fort Pierce, Port St. Lucie, and Hutchinson Island, where the season never ends.
Let's rejoin the voice of the Mets, Adam McDonald.
Miguel Alfonseca pitching for the Mets in the second inning. So Mets already on their third pitcher of the afternoon. Down 5-0. So Cornelius had to get all three outs in the first inning after Suarez got rocked. Two hits, a run on the homer. Two inherited runs allowed. No walks, one strikeout for Cornelius through 16 pitches, 12 strikes. And now Miguel Alfonseca with his second appearance of this series. Pitched in the opener on Tuesday.
Now batting for the Mighty Muscles, number eight.
Correction, he played on Friday, the one game that we played that night. That's all a jumbled mess in the brain. But he only threw one pitch. Gave up a single, but it turned into an out. So not much actual in-game work. First pitch, a ball way outside to Misael Urbina. Urbina remains 0-for-14 in the series, but his walk started the rally in the first inning. Slider for a strike. Alfonseca with his 23rd leaf appearance for the Mets. Two different stints with the team. Started the year with St. Lucie. Broke that opening day pitching staff, which was no small feat looking back on it now. I mean, all those guys have done really well. There's only a couple who remain. The only ones who have been here from the pitching staff from game one to game 129 are Ziegler and Cornelii. As this pitch is swung on and missed. Or strike two on Urbina. Everybody else, I think, promoted. Or injured. Slider down and away. Pretty soon we'll start the 2022 regular season retrospective. Figured we'd get a couple innings in before we went down memory lane. Slider hit deep left field, but it will hang up for Murphy. He makes the catch. One down in the bottom of the second. 0-for-15 series for Urbina. Now Schobel will bat. First pitch way outside. Schobel 5-for-11 in the series after his single in the first inning. Fastball for a strike at 92. 1-1. Hard ground ball backhanded by Tillian at short. Throws to first. Schobel's retired. Two up, two down for Alfonseca in the bottom of the second. Ben Ross will come up. Two-run double in the first inning. Nobody to drive in here in the second other than himself. He does have a home run this series. Takes a slider away. Ball one. Do we have a challenge by the Mets? We do. That was outside. This is going to be a lost challenge and the last one of the game. The umpire continues to ask, and the ABS guy has not said yet. Can we get an answer, please? No, it's a ball. Finally. Where's ABS Will? ABS Will would have had that in split second. The ABS guy asleep over there? He doesn't really have to pay attention. If for the Mets anymore, as this ball is fouled away. So Campos asked for a challenge on the slider, looked outside, it was outside. So the Mets are done with challenges in the bottom of the second inning. Hopefully they use their challenges on Tuesday more conservatively. There's a ball flowing into center field. Kevin Kendall getting some play out in the outfield. Backing up, spinning around, and can't make the catch. Off the glove, off the warning track. Ross heading for third base. He'll stop there standing up. That was a well-struck ball. Got to the back of the grass. And Kevin Kendall, who's very, very new to the outfield, cannot squeeze it in. Went right in and out of his glove. And, of course, not to pick on Kevin. It's a difficult spot learning center field. That's a fairly simple catch, I think, for a seasoned outfielder like De Los Santos or a Murphy. I believe they're going to call that a hit. It's because of how far it was hit. And it was a running attempt. Kevin will tell you he should have caught it. But, you know, when you're trying to learn the outfield, that's the one you want. I mean, you're not really gaining anything on the can of corn fly balls. You need the testers. Well, Ross being given a triple. So, Juan Fonseca, who would like a scoreless appearance in his last, now has to try to prevent an earned run with Kalei Rosario at the plate. And it's a one ball, one strike count after the second pitch misses away. I'm not sure Kevin Kendall next week is going to be in the outfield. Assuming he's with St. Lucie next week on this minor league rehab assignment. I guess Robbie Robinson would be given the chance to put his most seasoned players where they need to be. Sounds like DeAndre Smith came out of yesterday's game okay for the slide into third base where he banged up his leg as Rosario strikes out swinging. So we'll talk more about a potential defensive alignment for the Mets in the must-win playoff games when we come back. No runs, one hit, no errors, one stranded. Good inning by Alfonseca. We go to the third, still 5-0 Fort Myers.
To those of you on the front lines and in the back of the house, making it work, but wanting to make a change for the better. At Indian River State College, we make change possible with affordable, sensible, expertly taught degree programs. Earn a bachelor's degree, associate's degree, or certificate in the trades in over 100 programs. The change you want is within your reach. Visit irsc.edu to learn more.
Hey, baseball fans.
Well, that really surprised me.
If you're not watching MLB Tonight every night, you're missing something.
I don't know if I've ever seen that happen.
With live look-ins and highlights from every game, plus breakdowns from TV's best analysts, MLB Tonight goes around the league to bring you the whole picture.
I've never seen a night like this.
Don't miss MLB Tonight every night on MLB Network. Go to findmlbnetwork.com for TV channel number.
Now let's get back to the action.
Oscar Campos leads off for the Mets in the third inning against Rimmel, who's pitched two perfect innings. Campos on minor league rehab assignment, playing in his second game of the series, and bleeds one towards right, but it goes foul. And Rimmel's ahead, nothing and two. Well, Rimmel has only needed, 17 pitches for the two perfect innings. 0-2 pitch. Check swing on a pitch around the eyeballs. It's put into play. An easy out for Schobel at second. 4-3. Ocampos tried to hold up. Didn't want to swing at that. Accidentally put it in play and is a quick out. 7-up, 7-down, and now Kevin Kendall will bat. Kendall 0-for-6 in this rehab assignment with 3 strikeouts. It's only his third game, so easing his way back in. He's going to play in 3 minor league games this season, and that's a tough break for him and the Mets as this ball is challenged by the catcher. And the call is upheld. The ABS guy quicker, telling the umpire that time. There's the ball fouled away, and it's 1-1. Kendall had a great finish to last season with St. Lucie. Reminded me of a Jeff McNeil type, undersized but feisty, and could really swing the stick. Kind of a guy who did not have a solid position but could play many spots. Just like Jeff in his time, not just in the minors, but in the majors too. But that late hand wrist injury in camp cost him basically the entire season. He would have started the season in Brooklyn, and he, I don't know if he would have finished in Brooklyn. Maybe he could have gotten a double-A with a good season, but he's got to get back on the radar now. He pokes one into shallow center, stopped by Ross, but the throw is way late to first. I mean, Ross selling out on that dive on the grass in center. But no chance to get Kendall. It's a hit. And a soft liner towards center. That almost hit the pitcher. Rimmel had to duck out of the way. So that snaps the streak of 7 in a row retired by Rimmel to start the afternoon. One out single by Kevin Kendall, his first of the season. And now Brad Mommelbat. It's 5-0 in the third. A wild pitch. Bounces away from the catcher, Baez. And now Kendall is up to second base. A one-out runner in scoring position. Mets like to cut into this 5-0 deficit. Mets have overcome a 5-run deficit before this season. As this ball is sent out deep right field, but twisting foul towards the Mets bullpen. Most of the Mets' big comebacks this year have been on the road, or at home, rather. They'd like a big one on the road. Before the season's over. 1-1 pitch is too high, a fastball at 91. Mom, 0-for-6 in the series. We'll take this pitch at the knees for a strike. Evens the count 2-2. Foul tip and squeeze for strike 3. Mom was the second out of the inning. Two down, back to the top, and Murphy. Murphy in the series, 1-for-13. Flies this one to center. Trailing back is Baez, still drifting, and he makes the catch just shy of the track. And Rimmel has tossed 3 scoreless innings. Just the 1 hit allowed to Kevin Kendall. Bottom of the third coming up. Fort Myers has a 5-0 lead.
The St. Lucie Mets are back. The future stars of New York will be on display all spring and summer at Clover Park. Be there to experience the crack of the bat, the smell of the grass, and the delicious ballpark fare. Don't miss the world-famous Dollar Night every Thursday with $1 beer, soda, and popcorn, and $2 hot dogs. Catch the best fireworks show on the Treasure Coast on select Saturday nights. Tickets are on sale now. Visit stluciemets.com to get yours today. A day at Clover Park is a home run.
All Smiles Dentistry is a locally owned and operated dental practice with five convenient Treasure Coast locations. At All Smiles Dentistry, we are proud to announce that we now offer a five-year warranty on most services at no extra charge. As always, we are committed to providing the highest quality dental care for you and your entire family. Call 888-SMILE-07 today for details and a no-obligation consultation. That's 888-SMILE-07.
Dr. Michael C. Solomon is a doctor who cares and always puts his patients first. He's a board-certified surgeon with over 16 years of experience. He has a great medical staff that's compassionate and knowledgeable. If you're in pain or suffer extreme discomfort from kidney stones, prostate or bladder problems, erectile dysfunction, or any other urological problems, call Solomon Urology. Dr. Solomon offers the most current medical and surgical alternatives to resolve your urologic problems.
Now let's get back to the action.
Rubel Cespedes takes a strike, or a ball rather, than fouls the next pitch off. And Miguel Alfonseca back to work in the bottom of the third. Cespedes had that 13-pitch at-bat, which resulted in a strikeout. 13 pitches against two pitchers combined. Never seen that before, as this ball is popped into shallow left. This is a tough play caught by Estep. Well, Chase is going to wind up more towards the wall in left field. Then he is at third base. He went way out there to snag that, as Murphy, I guess, couldn't get there. Long range Chase Estep. So one down. Alfonseca's pitched pretty well. Give up that triple that probably should have been caught, but he's retired everybody else. Gianni Cavaco takes the ball down and away. Cavaco rounded out in the first inning against Corneli. Slider called the strike. Five nothing, one out, nobody on, bottom three. Weather is held. 29-minute delayed start for no reason at all. As this pitch is low, I was up here in the press box in the booth doing some pregame prep. I was writing something down. It's about 12:40. Mets were on the field warming up as this ball is grounded to short. Tillian has been busy. Backhand, he, whoa! Sails this throw right into the Mets dugout. Bear Sierta was on the bag. Looked like he was going to jump up to make the catch, and then he realized it was so high that he just stood there. Yep. Right into the Mets dugout. Is everybody okay? And there's a group of players who don't play in the game or not in the lineup who stay down there in that corner. That's right where it went. Hopefully they were paying attention. So that will be E6, a two-base E6. Tillian been busy and reliable at short, but airmails that throw. Nate Baez is up now. One-out base runner. Yeah, so about 12:40, I look up from my workbook, writing something down, and I see the tarp being rolled out. And I look in the Mets dugout, and there were multiple players just – they threw their hands up, literally. They're like, what are we doing here? And I did the same thing. And then I looked at the radar, and I did see, like, a splotch of green. I'm like, all right, I see it. And then I used my eyes, and I looked around every direction. Nothing. Nothing out there. I don't know. Maybe it was a faulty radar. But there's been a lot of looking at phones and radars this week, and sometimes, you know, the good old eyeball test is the best one. 1-2 pitch coming. A slider away to Baez. Baez jacked a three-run homer in the first. Broke open the inning. Turned a 2-0 lead to a 5-0 lead. That was off Cornelli. Two out, two strike homer. Those are always backbreakers. 2-2 pitch, and he fights off this slider. Foul tips this pitch. Good squeeze by Campos. That's a strikeout. Two down.
Now batting for the Mighty Muscles, number 15, Ricardo Oliva, number 15.
Ricardo Olivar up now. He singled in the first. And he tries to check his swing, but accidentally hits it, but it's a foul. Strike one. Oh, one slider. That's tomahawked into left field for a base hit. Murphy's going to come up with the ball, heave it home. Runner is held. Ball kicks away from Estep, picked up by Campos, and Alfonseca will cover the plate, but no more advancing on the bases. So Pavaco held at third by Brian Meyer, the manager. I think it was the right call. Man, Murphy's got a good arm. He was gathering that ball basically right as Pavaco was hitting third base. It would have been a dead duck at home. All of our 2-for-2, and now Baez will come up, and there's not going to be an earned run in the inning after the one-out error. Inning should be over for you play it, but Alfonseca would like to get it through it with no run at all. As this one, oh, no, fouled off the umpire, and great stop by the catcher Campos to catch him. He was going down. Rob Ginther backpedaling, falling backwards, and Campos reached out and strong-armed him and kept him upright. And now Fort Myers' trainer will come out and have a look. Well, that caught a lot of him, and he looks like he's okay. He's upright, talking, and moving around. That was the one that took out the umpire on Tuesday, Connor McKenna. And DeAndre Smith knocked one off of him in the second inning, and McKenna's been out the rest of the series. Had that whole issue where, you know, Ginther had to go from his base umpire outfit and equipment, change for 15 minutes into the home plate equipment. And we were delayed for about 15 minutes. That's why Joe Crone is the replacement umpire this series. And Ginther, he's going to stay in there. He had a handshake for the trainer. They brought him some water, offered him a towel. Campos going to give him a fist bump. And Ginther, he's sweated through his entire uniform by now. And he's just a soaking mess. He might as well have been jumped in a pool. I do not envy him with all that equipment back there in this brutal sun. He's okay, and we will resume. A 1-1 pitch swung on and missed by Baez. You know, I did hear that in the FCL this season, Florida Complex League, those are noon games. You know, they rotated umpires. They gave umpires days off because of heat exhaustion. And players would drop, too. So, you know, this is, well, those umpires had to do these noon games every day, 5 days a week. Here in the Florida State League, it's 1 day a week. Breaking ball swung on and missed. A good inning for Alfonseca. Another scoreless inning. Works around an error and a two-out single. Strands runners at the corners. We're through three in the final game of the season. Fort Myers still up 5-0.
Best tailgate, brisket.
No, real football y pollo asado.
Hoops and wings.
Dude, subs.
Hot dogs.
Chili dog.
No, Dodger dog.
It's gotta be crawfish.
Now you talk burgers.
Seven-layer dip.
Ribs.
No contest.
Hummus.
What?
You need a hot grill.
And an ice-cold Coke.
Of course.
Football and Coke, come on.
It's got to be Coke.
Game day. Race day.
Calls for Coke.
You know it.
Grab yourself a Coke.
It's tailgate 101.
Tomorrow's a big day. It's the reason you kissed the kids and got in the cab this morning. It's why they invented energy drinks. It's why you joined Toastmasters and floss religiously. Tomorrow's why you haven't eaten dairy or broccoli in a week. If it weren't for tomorrow, those business cards you order would seem kind of silly. Tomorrow's big, and at Hilton Garden Inn, we know every big day will go much better with a perfect night before. When tomorrow's a big day, stay HGI tonight.
Hey fans, do you know your Mud Hens from your Trash Pandas? Then play Minor League Rundown, the official free-to-play game of Minor League Baseball, and compete for tickets and game day experiences. Rundown is made for masters of ballpark trivia. Playing is free and easy on any mobile device. Just head on over to www.ballyplay.com to sign up and play. Return for each open round to vie for more prizes, including the grand prize, to attend Championship Weekend in Las Vegas this October. It's never been this fun to get caught in a rundown.
Let's go back to the field.
Typical Gator fashion, Blue started early, winner by default. Give it up for the Red Kentucky.
One thing I will. Can anybody hear me out there? I mean, this guy's screaming into the microphone. I tell you, I will not miss this place. I don't think anybody with the Mets is going to miss this place. All the weather fiasco. It's not been a great final series of the year. And, the guy screaming his head off as this ball shot into deep left center field by Parada. And that's going to one hop off the warning track deep. And Kevin is going to cruise into second base with a leadoff double. That, my friends, is his best swing with St. Lucie, probably as a pro. We didn't see him in the FCL. But that was a laser beam to deep left center field. Barely had any height on it at all. It made it all the way to the back of the track. So Parada with a smooth double to lead off the fourth inning. Same pitcher, Nicholas Rimmel from Germany. He's pitched three scoreless innings. It'll be tougher to put up a zero this inning with the leadoff double. Tillian takes a ball. And a pitch outside, 2-0. So one positive to take from this series is the slight emergence here of Kevin Parada. He started to come alive last Sunday with a couple of hits, including a big two-run single. But that was a beautiful swing. Delivers a strong double. So, that's something we hope to see next week. Tillian 0-for-1 at the ground out. And he takes this pitch for a strike. Three, one, two, high, ball four. So, Mets have something positive developing here in the fourth inning. Down five. Runners on first and second. Nobody out.
Now batting
Correction, new pitcher. This is a new pitcher. It looked like the same guy. Trying to get a name. I think they have it on the sheet. Jonathan LaValle. LaValle pitching. So Rimmel went three scoreless, and now LaValle has come in and is in trouble. And he throws ball one to Eastup. And then a strike. Eastup with the look back to the umpire, but Mets are out of challenges. Eastup a long fly out and has one at bat in the second. There's a pitch away. You know, the Mets won't miss this place, but they'd sign up to come back here because that means that they get through Palm Beach next week and would face Fort Myers. Now, then Fort Myers has to advance as well. But the East representative in the championship series next Sunday will be either St. Lucie or Palm Beach. The West representative will be either Fort Myers, Dunedin, or Bradenton. Still waiting on updates for Bradenton and Dunedin. It looks like both those games still in rain delays. Eastep strikes out swinging. One down in the top of the fourth.
Ladies and gentlemen, the beer batter has just struck out.
Oh, no. Chase was the beer batter. That means $2 Coors Lights in the next 15 minutes. Yesterday, I saw them all heading for the concourse, but I don't see anybody moving today. It's too hot to move. There's a pitch for a ball to Dominguez. Struck out swinging in the second. Hard ground ball to short. Ross flips to Schobel. Throws to first. Double play. 6-4-3. A promising start for the Mets with the double and a walk. Next two batters strike out and hit to the twin killing. No runs, a hit, no errors, and one man stranded. Go to the bottom of the fourth. Fort Myers still with the 5-0 lead.
Hey fans, get ready for some big league savings from Tire Kingdom. We are swinging for the fences with our lowest tire price guarantee on this all-star lineup of tire brands featuring Michelin, Nitto, Cooper, and more. Plus, visit TireKingdom.com today for a coupon good for a $21.99 conventional oil change or $20 off a synthetic blend or full synthetic oil. Step up to the plate and slide into Tire Kingdom, proud sponsor of 2022 spring training.
Hi, I'm Chief John Bolduc of the Port St. Lucie Police Department. The City Council voted to reduce the speed limit in all of our residential neighborhoods. The police department's going to be taking part in this to help educate the drivers. Then we will be enhancing our enforcement actions in residential neighborhoods.
Can you drive the speed limit? Because I walk in the dark to my bus stop.
I walk to school and you drive to work.
My friends and I like to play ball in the yard.
I like to walk my dog.
The baseball season may start in St. Lucie, Florida, but with an average temperature of 77 degrees, 21 miles of pristine beaches, more than 20 world-class golf courses, and miles of lush nature trails, there's something for the whole family to enjoy. St. Lucie is home to year-round warm sunshine, blue skies, and turquoise blue water, so there's never a bad time to plan your next vacation. Visit stlucie.com/Mets to get started. St. Lucie, Florida, where the season never ends.
You're listening to the St. Lucie Mets Baseball Network.
Now batting for the Mighty Muscles, number 8, Misael Urbina, number 8.
Misael Urbina leads off the bottom of the fourth. Miguel Alfonseca still pitching for the Mets. First pitch a ball, second pitch fouled straight back. Just called strike and a challenge. As Urbina thought this one was outside, and we wait for the result, and it is one by Fort Myers. Backup slider, no good, ball three. Slider swung on and missed, a full count. Urbina 0-for-1 with a walk and a flyout. You're just tuning in. Fort Myers scored all five of its runs in the first inning after a 29-minute delayed start due to rain in the area, apparently. Here's a fly into left. Long run for Murphy, and he won't get there. A base hit for Urbina. Murphy holds him to a long single. That's Urbina's first hit of the series. He had been 0-for-15.
Now batting for the Mighty Muscles, number one.
And now Schobel. Oh, bad. There's a two-run double for Ben Ross and a three-run homer by Nate Baez with two outs. The Mets offense hasn't done much. The first seven batters were retired. Kevin Pratt a double to lead off the fourth, but he was stranded after a strikeout and a double play. There's a fastball down and out. Well, Palm Beach and Dunedin, looks like they called that game off. So it was scoreless in the second. Palm Beach, or rather Dunedin, entered the day with the half-game lead. Now, they can't lose. What does that mean for Bradenton if Bradenton wins, if Bradenton can resume? I think you'd come down to percentage points. I don't know who would have it, but that's certainly sure some controversy there. As this pitch is a ball low. So Dunedin's going to end the half 38-25. If Bradenton wins, Bradenton would be 39-26. They'd be even in the standings, but I think Dunedin, with one less loss there, has the winning percentage. So did Dunedin basically just cancel a game to give itself the second half title? Very curious the machinations that happened there as this pitch is outside. Schobel has taken a walk, and the first two have reached against Alfonseca. I wonder how much Alfonseca has left in the tank. Approaching 50 pitches. Let's do have some relievers mulling around in the bullpen. Now here's Ross. He's halfway to the cycle, a double and a triple in the first two innings. And he will pop one up. Bear Sierta scrambling for it. Tough play, and it's going to land foul. And Malm ended up being the closest to it. It's a no-man's land down the right field line. Dominguez trying to give the ball to some kids under the net. Ball won't fit, and he's going to run back and heave it over the net into the grass berm down the right side. It used to be the only grass seating at Hammond Stadium until their massive renovation in 2014 and 15. A slider for a strike, and Ross would like to challenge the pitch. He thought it was inside, and he wins the challenge.
Well,
Fort Myers has won all three. So instead of 0-2, it's a ball and a strike. Slider is down and away. Mm-hmm. 2-1 pitch in the dirt, 3 balls and a strike. It doesn't appear that Alponseca's got a lot left. Well, Dunedin has sent out the word. They've clinched the playoffs. Ground ball, base hit into left field for Ross. Runner being waved home. Here comes Murphy's throw. It's high up the line. Campos is going to throw to Malm. They're going to try to get Ross in the rundown, and he's out. Malm to Bercierta got the tag down on Ross. Run scores, but there's out number one. Tough call. Field umpire is kind of in no man's land. Out by a second, trying to look back to first. Good sharp relay for the Mets. Urbina scored easily. And Schubel winds up at third. Ross credited with an RBI single to make it 6-0. But then Ross trying to scramble back from second base. Halfway between first and second is out. Rosario was up. Second and runner on third. One down. Mets infield in, and the pitch is a ball. So Murphy threw it home to Campos. Campos right away throws it up to Malm, who quick releases to Bercierta to get the tag on Ross for the scramble back to first. Here's a line drive base hit for Rosario into left field. That will bring home Schobel. And now on NFL Sunday Week 1, it's 7-0 Fort Myers. Fitting. A football score. Victor Ramos will head out to the mound. Another mound visit. Meanwhile, Ross on that base hit, he's now 3-for-3, a home run short of the cycle. He's going to get another chance, and he does have a home run in this series. And what a way it would be to cap the season for him. Yep, Dunedin just 8 minutes ago sent out the tweet, time to celebrate clinched playoffs. So Bradenton needed that game to be played and then needed to win its own game to win. But once Dunedin canceled that game, that was it. Bradenton looking at their Twitter feed, no update from 2 hours ago, and they were in a delay in the third inning. I hate to see it end like that. Here's a ground ball, base hit in the right field by Cespedes. So there have been 5 batters of this inning. They've all reached 4 hits. And Mets only out there is that good rundown and relay. Single walk, single, single, single. Keone Kavaka will bat. Fort Myers up to 9 hits. It's 3 more hits than they had across the entire doubleheader yesterday. Cavaco takes a ball low. It is interesting that, you know, Alfonseca is being left in the breeze here. And there's nobody throwing in the Mets bullpen. There's one Mets reliever down there standing and talking to a fan on the drink rail, which looks down on the Mets bullpen. It's one of the new unique features here at Hammond Stadium. It's a great spot to sit right over the top of both the visiting bullpen and the home bullpen, too, down the left field side. Cavaco fouls one away. Now, Fort Myers has tweeted out that their playoff opponent is set. Fort Myers going to play Dunedin. Game 1 Tuesday at TD Ballpark. Likely at 6:30. So the playoffs are set in the Florida State League as Cavaco fouls off another. Fort Myers versus Bradenton, or rather Dunedin, and St. Lucie versus Palm Beach. Game 1 in each of those series on Tuesday. Game 2 on Thursday. Games 3 if necessary on Friday. And here's the ball rocked into left field. That's another hit. Cavaco's got a single. That's 4 straight hits for Fort Myers and 5 of 6 in the inning. And just teeing off on Alfonseca, who is wearing it. 10 hits now overall. And Baez will come up. And a home run last time. And Alfonseca, a look into the dugout. But Campos coming out as well. So this is a visit between players. There's already been a visit from the dugout. Another one would mean a pitching change. Mets finally going to get somebody starting throwing in the bullpen. That's Jace Beck off the injured list. And this is a stall tactic. And Robbie's popped up, and he's ready to come out after Alfonseca. This visit is broken up. I'm not sure why Jace is just now starting to throw in the bullpen. So the visit with Campos is over, and now Robbie Robinson will make the walk out to the mound, and Robbie is going very slowly. Going to buy Beck all the time he can. Robbie just stopped and started to kick some grass. He's really milking the moment here. But it's a quick grab from the ball from Alfonseca, and that'll do it. Beck's across the line. He's coming in. So bases loaded, one out when we come back. Fort Myers ruling this game, up 7-0 in the fourth, looking for a lot more.
Today begins a new journey. Not only will you learn something new and elevate your opportunities, but you'll also discover your purpose.
I'm finding a way to serve my community at Indian River State College.
My nursing degree will go to work where it's needed most.
Using my hands, I can make a dream career come true.
Start a new life-changing chapter with Indian River State College. Visit irsc.edu to learn more.
Beer, Nathan's Famous Hot Dogs, hamburgers, chicken fingers, french fries, and more. Find all your favorite ballpark fare at one of our fully stocked concession stands on the concourse. Be sure to stop by the new Jim Beam Bourbon Bar in left field to grab a rum bucket or delicious cocktail. Enjoy the game the way it was meant to be, with an ice cold beverage in hand and a full belly.
Hi, I'm Brandon Nimmo of the New York Mets. I don't want anything to stop me from being at my best on the field. That's why I don't use tobacco. Using tobacco can cause shortness of breath and make your heart beat 3 times faster than normal. And that can slow you down and take you out of the game. Be like me. Choose to be tobacco free and be at your best both on and off the field. Be strong, be healthy, be tobacco free. For more information, visit tobaccofreeflorida.com or call 1-877-YOU-CAN-NOW.
This is St. Lucie Mets Baseball.
All right, Jace Beck returning to action after a short stint on the injured list. Activated from the IL yesterday. This will be his first appearance since August 25th. He was pitching against Palm Beach, faced one batter, 4-pitch walk. Velo is down. Pinch in his shoulder. He was hoping it would be a short stint, and for the most part it was. Now he throws a fastball at 94 for a strike, so immediately the velocity back to where it was before that ill-fated night against the Cardinals. One pitch swung on and missed. 93. It's nothing and two on Baez. Rosario on third, Cespedes on second, Cavaco on first. Fort Myers offense alive today after being shut down completely yesterday. Beck's pitch is too high. Can't be sure, but I thought I might have heard a rumble of thunder. That would not be good. Yeah, there's some stuff out there. We're not official yet, as this pitch is fouled away. I will tell you this. If the tarp goes on the field, the appetite to wait it out. Going to be a nil for the Mets. I'm sure Fort Myers would. I don't know if they'd like to resume it. I think this is a pretty nice tune-up. They'd like the win. But the way they played, I think they have to be satisfied. But this inning has to get over, and we have to play the top of the fifth. And Beck has thrown one up high. It's 2-2. Yep, tarp crew's assembled. Beck's 2-2 pitch swung on and missed in the dirt. Baez strikes out. I think the best course of action for Fort Myers would be to swing at anything in the strike zone. And if you make an out, so be it. Then quickly get out to the mound in the top of the fifth and try to get three quick outs. There's Olivar. You know, if we had started this game on time like we should have, not even have to worry about the weather right now, we would have been 30 minutes ahead of time. We'd be long past official by now. There's a swing and a miss from Olivar on the high fastball. Pitches up too high. The ball and a strike. Olivar a single in the first and a single in the third, but neither help lead to a run. Fort Myers has 7 runs on 10 total hits. Beck's 1-0 pitch. Good slider for a strike. Beck this year, 17 relief appearances when you include this one. 2.45 ERA. Had a tough August, maybe the shoulder, everything, something to do with that, after a 1.35 ERA in July. And he bounces this one 3 feet in front of the plate. Good block up the third baseline by Campos. Bases loaded, 2 outs. Bottom of the fourth inning, 7-0 Fort Myers. Rain incoming, not an official game yet. Beck delivers the 2-2 pitch, and he strikes out Olivar. Oh, good job by Beck. Comes in, bases loaded, strikes out 2 to get the Mets out of further trouble. But 2 runs end up scoring on 5 hits. No errors, 3 left on. Let's see if we can get through the top of the fifth inning, make this thing official, and then whatever happens with the weather, so be it.
Tutto Fresco Restaurant and Patio Grill, located at the entrance to PGA Village, offers regional Italian cuisine accompanied by an extensive selection of wine and spirits. We feature traditional Italian recipes from various regions of Italy, celebrating our owner's family heritage. Our goal is to provide an authentic Italian dining experience with uncompromising service. Tutto Fresco, a slice of Italy in the heart of the Treasure Coast.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org. See you in Cooperstown, where the journey becomes legend.
The biggest Mets fan is also the biggest fan of adventures in St. Lucie, Florida. Mr. Met wants your family to visit St. Lucie for epic home runs, eating hot dogs at the park, walking through art spaces, rounding the beaches, or just sliding into vacation bliss. Start planning now at visitstlucie.com/Mets. St. Lucie, Fort Pierce, Port St. Lucie, and Hutchinson Island, where the season never ends.
Let's rejoin the voice of the Mets, Adam McDonald.
Thanks for hanging out on a Sunday. I know it's tough. The NFL kicking in high gear. A lot of attention on that today for those who are listening. Appreciate you. Last one of the year. Might be the last inning of the year. The some rain in the area. Tarp Coretti muscles three outs away from making this an official game. Bear Sierta, Campos, and Kevin Kendall will bat. That's down 7-0. New pitcher is John Wilson, and the lefty throws strike one. So LaValle, only one inning, a hit, a walk, a strikeout. He just threw just 13 pitches. Worked around the leadoff double by Parada. For Alfonseca, 2 1/3 innings, 6 hits, 2 runs, a walk, and 3 strikeouts. A lot of pitches, 60. Beck ensured that no more than 2 would be scored. Wilson has fallen behind Bear Sierta 2-1. Raul 0-for-1 today, had that big game 2 yesterday, launched his 13th home run. Solo shot early, and then the winning sack fly. He hits a hard ground ball to Cavaco, who throws him out. One away in the fifth. So you look at the Mets going to the playoffs, and you have only Bear Sierta and Dominguez left over from the opening day roster for position players. So you feel good for those guys, and you know they've ridden the whole season in St. Lucie, and they're going to get their moment on Tuesday. They've earned their playoff berth. Here's a fly into right, and that's going to drop in for a hit for Campos. A one-out base knock. And it will bring up Kevin Kendall for a lefty-lefty matchup. Feel good for all those St. Lucie Mets from the first half that got promoted that we knew they would not be around for the playoffs. But they went ahead and clinched a playoff berth up in High A Brooklyn a couple of days ago. So they're going to get their postseason opportunity as well. But Bear Sierta and Dominguez, they figure to be crucial pieces. You know, experienced guys. You know, Bear Sierta slugged it well all season. Dominguez has been very streaky. Would love to see the power return for him. Hasn't hit a home run in weeks. But Domar De Los Santos looking unlikely to come back in time. Those will be two big pieces in that middle bottom part of the order. There's a pitch inside to Kendall. 1-1 A challenge by Fort Myers and a win. So the catcher, Baez, this second successful challenge. Fort Myers 4-for-4 in challenges. So it's 1-2 on Kendall. And then he takes the third strike and knows it. And with the rumbling getting closer, they're now a out away from an official game. Well, with Kevin Kendall at the plate there, I want to circle back to something discussed earlier in the game and kind of forgot about. But the defensive alignment that the Mets could have on Tuesday. I think Robinson is going to try to put his best foot forward defensively. I think it's Junior Tillian. You'll have Estep at third and Tillian at short. Probably DeAndre Smith at second if he's good to go. Then it gets interesting at first base as this ball is fouled away. Malm has been a pretty good first baseman. He's got a little more range and more nimble than Bear Sierta and Salazar. You figure Bear Sierta's got to get in there. Maybe as the DH, but he's got to play. Can't keep that bat on the bench. And Malm strikes out swinging, and the inning is over. So we're official now. A good inning from Wilson. Well, we'll keep it right here and discuss the defensive alignment for the Mets. So I bet that, you know, we'll see what happens at first base, but catcher's going to be Parada. And with the off day on Wednesday, I think that gives the Mets a pretty good opportunity to be able to play Parada in both games. And then if the Mets get to a game three, which is back-to-back from game two, we'll see what they're allowed to do. But I'm guessing that's the that's the alignment on the infield with a question mark at first base. In the outfield, you figure it's got to be Dominguez certainly in right, Murphy in center, and then Ryland Thomas in left. But then does that mean Kevin Kendall is the DH and Bear Sierras at first? And that mean you put DeAndre Smith at the DH and have Kevin Kendall at second, and then Bear Sierras got to be at first? So there are some decisions to be made there. You could also have Ryland Thomas play, you know, left field. You could have Bear Sierras play left field, but I think, you know, I think defense is going to be important. So my guess is that, you know, Bear Sierras is either going to DH or stick at first base. He's been good at first base, but the only question is the range. And when Jack Thomas Wold, before he had been released, he was by far the Mets' best defensive option. And he saved the Mets' bacon quite a few times defensively. The Mets obviously didn't feel that his offense was enough to keep him around. But so, sure, Robbie has a plan, just like Victor Ramos has a plan for the bullpen and for his rotation. I think all signs point to Blade Tidwell starting on Tuesday. That would not be a surprise to anybody, but you know, it'll be a short outing, and then who comes in after that, you know, we'll see. You know, the Mets liked using Ramon Gomez late, so, and you get 4 innings from Tidwell, 3 innings from another strong arm, and 2 to finish for Gomez. I think that'd be a good plan. And we're starting the bottom of the fifth. It has remained dry. We have a new pitcher on the mound. It's Carlos Ocampo. His first rehab appearance since Tuesday. He starts with a couple of strikes to Luis Baez. So Beck off the injured list. 2 batters, 2 strikeouts, and out of there. Ocampo's pitch goes to the backstop. Well, the Mets ran Ocampo out there in the bottom of the seventh and of a scoreless game on Tuesday, and he proceeded to give up 5 runs and didn't make it out of the inning. So that's the life of having all these rehabbers. You know, they're not always going to be sharp. Had a night where he wasn't, and that was that. Continued to be partly cloudy overhead, but out to the west, or east rather, a rumbling continues. Ocampo the pitch, and it's grounded hard and foul. 7-0 Mighty Muscles, 5 in the first inning, 2 in the fourth. They are looking good for a series victory. They won the first 2. The Mets won the 2 yesterday. The only team that can say it has a winning record against the Mets this year is Palm Beach. Went 15-8 against the Mets. And it just so happens to be the team the Mets are going to have to deal with on Tuesday. The team they did the worst against. And then they might have to deal with this team next week. Wouldn't that be something that the Mets could take out Palm Beach and then Fort Myers, two teams that likely to have winning records against them, barring a massive comeback here. Well, Ocampo started with 2 straight strikes, and he's been fiddling around since and has now gone to a 3-ball, 2-strike count. And here's a ground ball out to second. That'll be scooped up, thrown to first by Malm. One down. Baez 0 for 3.
Now batting for the Mighty Muscles, number 8, Misael Urbina. Number 8.
Back to the top and Urbina. Made it on base twice today and has scored both times. slider down and away, and Campo has quickly fallen behind 2-0. Zuo pitch, misses way inside, 3 balls and no strikes. Pitch hits the corner. Urbina walking across the plate, thinking ball four. He's done that a couple of times in this game. Three-one pitch, low for ball four. Both batters get to a three-ball count. One ground out, one walk. And Schoble will hit. One for two with a single, a walk, and 2 runs scored. I ran into Jordan Gieber yesterday in the hotel lobby. Gieber, yesterday's game 2 starter, fired 4 scoreless innings. College teammates at Va Tech with Schoble. Schoble got him for a single in the first. Poked to right field. Schoble ended up getting that ball, signed it, and gave it to him. What a friend. I found that quite hilarious. I told Jordan, I said, well, did you tell him you got him out the next time and threw 4 scoreless innings? Now that's 2 friends having fun. he signed the ball and gave it to him after getting a hit off Gieber. I meant that Schoble signed the ball and gave it to Jordan. I found that quite amusing. Schoble's in a 1-2 count here. Campo's pitch way outside, a 94. Well, if Ocampo's pitching today, I think that tells you that he might be out of the equation. Early next week, as this ball is fouled away. Although, you know, with the way the schedule is, I mean, 2 games from now is Thursday, so if you're pitching on a Sunday, you can certainly go Thursday. Breaking ball down, did not go. Another 3-ball count. Payoff pitch, swung on and missed. Well, Schoble strikes out swinging on the fastball at 94. Ocampo, despite falling behind all these hitters, does have 2 outs. And Ben Ross will hit. Fly ball, center field, caught by Kendall. Good read, sinking line drive. So Ross bidding for a home run in the cycle, does not get it in the 5th inning. Ocampo a much better inning this time than on Tuesday. Strands a 1-out walk. 5 innings in the books, 4 to go in the last game of the season. Fort Myers up 7-0 on the Mets.
To those of you on the front lines, and in the back of the house, making it work, but wanting to make a change for the better. At Indian River State College, we make change possible with affordable, sensible, expertly taught degree programs. Earn a bachelor's degree, associate's degree, or certificate in the trades in over 100 programs. The change you want is within your reach. Visit irsc.edu to learn more.
Hey, baseball fans.
Well, that really surprised me.
If you're not watching MLB Tonight every night, you're missing something.
I don't know if I've ever seen that happen.
With live look-ins and highlights from every game, plus breakdowns from TV's best analysts, MLB Tonight goes around the league to bring you the whole picture.
I've never seen a night like this.
Don't miss MLB Tonight every night on MLB Network. Go to findmlbnetwork.com for TV channel number.
Now let's get back to the action.
Top of the lineup will bat for the Mets, looking for a big rally here in the middle innings. It feels like we've been playing a long time. I mean, first pitch was scheduled for 2 hours and 15 minutes ago. We are just now starting the sixth inning after the half an hour delayed start. Plus, this game has been a fairly slow developing game. Sometimes these last games of the season, especially when they have, you know, no meaning in the standings, can go by quickly. This one has not. Tanner Murphy takes a pitch and then another. That's the same pitcher, John Wilson, breezed through the Mets in the fifth. This is the only game going in the Florida State League at the moment. Two canceled games and one final already, and one game yet to get going as a strike is delivered. Jupiter, smart idea. Start the last game of the season at 10 a.m. Beat Lakeland 4-0. Palm Beach at Dunedin, canceled due to rain. They got through two innings. Bradenton at Clearwater, canceled due to rain. They also got through two innings. In the late game, Tampa at Daytona, 5:35. It's strictly to get as many folks into the stands as possible. Otherwise, play that thing at 10 a.m. You've got to remember, in Roger Dean, Sunday games, there is no attendance, so I don't care about getting folks in there and selling hot dogs and hamburgers and beer, tickets. Well, there's your reason for a 10 a.m. start. Daytona trying to maximize revenue, so forcing two bad teams, or rather eliminated teams, to stick around all day late. There's a ground ball out by Murphy. He's 0 for 3. Hit it out to second at Schober. And now Parada. Maybe when they come back here next week, they'll get his name right. If we come back. Honestly, I'll be pulling for Dunedin. I do not want to come back here. Too much rain. Even though it's only one game, I would guess that next Sunday, you know, the teams in the North, the winner of the North will host the game next Sunday, but neither team has revealed what time that would potentially be. Of course, Fort Myers is known for, you know, months now that they could potentially host that Sunday night or that Sunday game. You know, Dunedin didn't know until today, but I'm sure they had a contingency plan. As this pitch is high, my guess would be it would be a night game, right? A Sunday night game? But, you know, you do that. Like tonight, for instance, there's a 100% chance of severe storms at 6 o'clock in Fort Myers on this Sunday night. Now, the later you go, as Parada swings through a fastball, the riskier it is, weather-wise. Now, we pretty much, if all the games in this series were scheduled for 1 o'clock, we might have been able to play every one of them on time. But as this ball is fouled away. So I am curious. What time game one would be next Sunday in the championship series. 3-2 pitch to Parada, and he fouls back another to stay alive. Parada smoked a double in the fourth inning. Great smooth swing. That's his first double in single-A ball. And there's one low and away, so Parada takes a walk on base two times today. Was on base twice in game one yesterday. The only game he played was on base twice in the single game on Friday. So that's three straight games reaching base twice. Now Junior Tillian up. Wilson, first pitch to him, is driven into left field and making a running, leaping catch is Olivar. Thought he might have run too far laterally, not back enough. He did have to leave his feet, made the catch. Takes an extra base hit away from Tillian and maybe a runaway if that ball sails on him. Two down and Chase Eastup will bat. 0 for 2. Struck out as the beard batter of the game in the fourth. $2 Coors Lights for 15 minutes. He takes this sweeping breaking ball low for ball one. New York Mets update. They lead 5-1 in Miami. And the Mets yesterday with their win and the Braves' late night loss to Seattle. Mets vaulted back over Atlanta for first place. And if the Mets win every game the rest of the season, they will stay in first place. I hate to break it to all the Mets fans, that's not going to happen. They're not going to win every single game. If they do, that would be a record. But if they win today, they guarantee themselves another day in first place. There's a ball fouled back. Atlanta in Seattle in about an hour. And then starting tomorrow, the Mets home for 7 in a row against the Cubs for 3 and the Pirates for 4, I believe. Eastup swings and misses at the pitch in the dirt and strikes out against the tough lefty. That's out number 3. And the beer is $2 again. Mets have been blank through 6 innings. Go to the bottom half. It's 7-0 Fort Myers.
All Smiles Dentistry is a locally owned and operated dental practice with 5 convenient Treasure Coast locations. At All Smiles Dentistry, we are proud to announce that we now offer a 5-year warranty on most services at no extra charge. As always, we are committed to providing the highest quality dental care for you and your entire family. Call 888-SMILE-07 today for details and a no-obligation consultation. That's 888-SMILE-07.
Dr. Michael C. Solomon is a doctor who cares and always puts his patients first. He's a board-certified surgeon with over 16 years of experience. He has a great medical staff that's compassionate and knowledgeable. If you're in pain or suffer extreme discomfort from kidney stones, prostate or bladder problems, erectile dysfunction, or any other urological problems, call Solomon Urology. Dr. Solomon offers the most current medical and surgical alternatives to resolve your urologic problems.
Now let's get back to the action.
Carlos Ocampo throws the first pitch of the sixth inning to Kalei Rosario, who fouls it away. Rosario 1-for-2 with the RBI single, a walk and a run as this pitch goes low. Well, let's start the retrospective, shall we? I want to do this today in the final game of the regular season and not do it in the playoffs when the focus should be on totally on the game, but had some notes written down from last night in the hotel and this morning when I arrived at the ballpark. I think I mentioned it in the pregame show if you tuned in. The Mets, with the win in Game 2 yesterday, ensured themselves of a winning second half. They are 33-30 as Ocampo delivers one outside. It's a 2-2 count. So Mets, barring a big comeback here, will finish 33-31. Still a winning half after they had a brilliant first half. They ended it on a losing skid, but the job was done on a Wednesday night against Tampa. The 39th win against 19 losses to clinch the first half. 3-2 coming. Ball 4 in the dirt. So I think all but one batter of the five now that Ocampo has faced has reached a three-ball count. It would be great to get ahead quickly and try to finish somebody off before getting to ball three. He looks frustrated. Hard to blame him. So a leadoff walk and a 7-0 deficit. And we'll have a pinch runner going over to first base. Looks like Carlos Aguiar. So Aguiar subs in for Rosario. Cespedes will bat. He's 1-for-3. Pitches outside. So the Mets, the only team in the FSL with two winning halves. Fort Myers had a winning first half, but they will have a losing second half. Dunedin won the second half in the West. They had a losing first half. Palm Beach won the second half in the East, but the Cardinals had a losing first half. Nobody else was like the Mets with two winning halves. Mets finished with the best record in the Florida State League. If they, even if they lose this game, they'll finish 3.5 games better than Fort Myers overall. And the Mets, they're going to be the only team in the FSL to get to the 70 win mark. Fort Myers can top out at 69. Mets, 73 wins. With the win today, the Mets could tie the 2016 team with 74 wins. The most wins since then was a couple years ago. Here's a pickoff throw, and they get the pinch runner Aguiar. Ocampo picks him off. Bears Sierra with the quick tag. And just like that, that leadoff walk is erased. Now then, back when St. Lucie Mets in 2016 won 100 and, or I wish they won 100, they won 74 games under Luis Rojas. This pitch is foul tipped for strike two. But that was in a 140-game season. Now, this was a 132-game season plus three canceled games. So less opportunities to try to get to 74 wins. The ball fouled away. 73 wins in 129 games is really, really good. The Mets, even with the loss here, would finish 17 games above 500. That would be the most games over 500 since the 2012 team. As this ball is fouled away. That 2012 team, a St. Lucie record, 31 games over 500. They finished 82-51. Most wins and the most games over 500 ever since the team came into existence in 1988. And notably, the Mets were going to finish with the best record of all the Mets affiliates. As this ball is fouled away deep to left. Cespedes has said that 13 pitch at bat in the first inning that featured 9 consecutive foul balls. And he's doing something similar here. It's another three-ball count, by the way.
Pitch
Here's a liner into left field. Murphy running back. He reaches out. It's passed him. Hits off the bottom of the wall. And Cespedes finally straightens one out and has a one-out double. He's 2-for-4 today. That is the 11th hit for Fort Myers. Here with one out in the bottom of the sixth inning of a 7-0 game. So those are some good nuggets for this St. Lucie Mets season. Always good to say you have the best record of every team in your league and the best record of every team in the minor league system, the Mets. Brooklyn and Syracuse going to finish well under 500. Syracuse and Binghamton, rather, well under 500. And Brooklyn's made a nice push. Brooklyn lost game one today and is tied in game two of a doubleheader at Winston-Salem. Brooklyn took care of business on Friday night, clinched the division with the victory and Hudson Valley loss. This pitch is a strike, and it's 1-1 on Cavaco. So Brooklyn eliminated Hudson Valley on Friday. Hudson Valley finished the year 21 games over 500, the Yankees' high A team. Cavaco just lost the challenge, by the way. So the 1-1 count stays. Slider foul tipped, and it's 1-2. Yeah, Hudson Valley finished 71-59 on the season. So it's a good season, but no playoffs. So tough break for them. Anyways, Brooklyn, you know, with a doubleheader split, could finish 10 games over 500. That's not going to be the 17 of the Mets as Cavaco strikes out swinging. But a good surge from those guys. I don't know if there's a way you could go through it and look individually. What's the record of the teams Alex Ramirez has played for this year? Stanley Consuegra. William Lugo. Mike Vassell. Dom Hamill, those types. It's got to be really good. That might do it for Carlos Ocampo as Robbie Robinson heads to the mound to make the pitching change. It is. So Ocampo, much better today. Improvement from the 5-run, 2-out inning on Tuesday. It's an inning and 2/3 scoreless so far. He's still responsible for Cespedes out there at second base. Take a short break. Come back in the bottom of the sixth with the new pitcher. Okay, Colby Kubicek is the new pitcher for the Mets, looking for the last out of the sixth inning, facing Nate Baez, the runner on second. Baez, a 3-run homer in the first to open up a 5-0 lead, and he has struck out twice since. Kubitschek's first pitch is hit deep left field, and Baez has done it again. A two-run homer on the first pitch from Kubitschek. Two home runs and five RBI on the day for him. And it'll be 9-0 Fort Myers. It's a thorough demolition of the Mets here in the final game of the regular season. Turning into one of the more lopsided games of the entire season. So, Kubitschek allows the inherited runner in. Tough pill for Carlos Ocampo to swallow. And Kubitschek, one of his own, as this pitch is a ball inside to Olivar, who's 2-for-3. Fort Myers has played the long ball in the series. They've hit, I believe, 4-5 as this ball is grounded out. The third, Estep makes the throw to first, and the inning is over. But damage done. Two out, two-run homer by Baez for the second time in the game. Two-out homer. First one is a three-run shot. This one, two runs. All Fort Myers, 9-0 through six.
Best tailgate, brisket.
No, real football y pollo asado.
Hoops and wings.
Dude, subs.
Hot dogs.
Chili dog.
No, Dodger dog.
It's gotta be crawfish.
Now you talk burgers.
Seven-layer dip.
Ribs.
No contest.
Hummus.
What?
You need a hot grill.
And an ice-cold Coke.
Of course.
Football and Coke, come on.
It's got to be Coke.
Game day. Race day.
Calls for Coke.
You know it.
Grab yourself a Coke.
It's tailgate 101.
Tomorrow's a big day. It's the reason you kissed the kids and got in the cab this morning. It's why they invented energy drinks. It's why you joined Toastmasters and floss religiously. Tomorrow's why you haven't eaten dairy or broccoli in a week. If it weren't for tomorrow, those business cards you order would seem kind of silly. Tomorrow's big. And at Hilton Garden Inn, we know every big day will go much better with a perfect night before. When tomorrow's a big day, stay HGI tonight.
Hey fans, do you know your Mud Hens from your Trash Pandas? Then play Minor League Rundown, the official free-to-play game of Minor League Baseball, and compete for tickets and game day experiences. Rundown is made for masters of ballpark trivia. Playing is free and easy on any mobile device. Just head on over to www.ballyplay.com to sign up and play. Return for each open round to vie for more prizes, including the grand prize, to attend Championship Weekend in Las Vegas this October. It's never been this fun to get caught in a rundown.
Let's go back to the field.
Zachiel Puentes is the new pitcher for Fort Myers in the seventh. Trying to keep the shutout going. Three pitchers done it so far. Rimmel, the starter, LaValle, and then Wilson. First pitch from Puentes is fouled off by Dominguez. The home run for Baez was his third of the season, his second of the game. Came on a slider, 86. Rather 83, 96 mile an hour exit velocity, 29 degree launch, and no distance listed. I'll fault the Hawkeye here at Hammond Stadium. We have a challenge on the pitch that was called a ball, and it's overturned to a strike. I continue to think Fort Myers has two left. So it's 0-2 on Dominguez. And he flies one into left field, and this is going to be caught leaning forward by Olivar. Dominguez will drop to 0-for-3.
Now batting for the Mets, number
38. Bear Sierta next. Mets held the three hits today. A single by Kendall, a single by Campos, and the double by Parada. That's was the Mets' third extra base hit of this or fourth extra base hit of the series. They finally had a couple in a game, game two yesterday, the Bear-Sierta homer and the DeAndre Smith clutch double. Raul will ground out to second and third today. Puentes, the pitch is pop foul, and that should reach the seats. It will, on a bounce. After this game's over, Mets heading back to Port St. Lucie. Two buses will get them there, probably through some bad weather. Ed's got it covered as this pitch is swung on and missed by Bear-Sierta for out number two. And it looks, sounds like the team will take Monday off like they've done all season. Three games in 2 days here, and especially with the heat of today. I think they'll, even though they've had more off days than they wanted to this past week, I think they'll get one on Monday, and it'll keep the same schedule. Tuesday, we'll be at Palm Beach. We'll bust down in the afternoon as this ball's driven into center by Campos. That ball's got some speed on it. It's going to go deep in the left center, but cut off by Baez. Campos, a two-hit game. He can swing it a bit. Good stroke. Mets will bust down to Palm Beach, a commuter trip on Tuesday afternoon. I'm guessing that the Mets will request they be allowed to do an infield and a BP on the main field, which is usually not allowed. And I think an exception can be made for the playoffs. Tuesdays have been closed to the public at Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium, but they are opening it up and selling tickets for the playoff game on Tuesday. Then the Mets on Wednesday, off day in the series, but looking at a workout day just to, you know, keep guys going. Now, Wednesday's been a game day all season. Then Thursday, hope to see you at Clover Park at 6:10 for game two. That night, the Mets will either be trying to advance in the postseason to the finals or trying to stave off elimination, force game three. A 1-1 pitch coming to Kendall. It swung on and missed. So that's what's coming up here the next few days. And what kind of roster moves the Mets will make? Not quite sure. They've made a steady stream of them this week, bringing over some guys, activating some IL players, putting some players on the IL. This ball is fouled away. I think the Mets have made 191 roster moves this year, and they've put 102 players into games this season. Kendall was the 100th. Adriel Antigua, 101, and JoJo Rodriguez last night, 102. There's a called third strike, and Kendall is caught looking, and the inning is over. No runs, a hit, no errors, one man left on base. Puentes with the good top of the seventh. We've reached the seventh inning stretch in the final day of the regular season.
Hey, fans, get ready for some big league savings from Tire Kingdom. We are swinging for the fences with our lowest tire price guarantee on this all-star lineup of tire brands featuring Michelin, Nitto, Cooper, and more. Plus, visit TireKingdom.com today for a coupon good for a $21.99 conventional oil change or $20 off a synthetic blend or full synthetic oil. Step up to the plate and slide into Tire Kingdom, proud sponsor of 2022 spring training.
Hi, I'm Chief John Bolduc of the Port St. Lucie Police Department. The City Council voted to reduce the speed limit in all of our residential neighborhoods. The Police Department's going to be taking part in this to help educate the drivers. Then we will be enhancing our enforcement actions in residential neighborhoods.
Can you drive the speed limit? Because I walk in the dark to my bus stop.
I walk to school and you drive to work.
My friends and I like to play ball in the yard.
I like to walk my dog.
The baseball season may start in St. Lucie, Florida, but with an average temperature of 77 degrees, 21 miles of pristine beaches, more than 20 world-class golf courses, and miles of lush nature trails, there's something for the whole family to enjoy. St. Lucie is home to year-round warm sunshine, blue skies, and turquoise blue water, so there's never a bad time to plan your next vacation. Visit stlucie.com/mets to get started. St. Lucie, Florida, where the season never ends.
You're listening to the St. Lucie Mets Baseball Network.
Bottom of the seventh. 9-1 and 2 in the Muscles order. Will bat. Muscles have had firm command of this game since the get-go. Their starting pitcher, Rimmel, buzzed through the Mets 1-2-3 with two strikeouts in the top of the first. All nine Muscles batted into the bottom of the first and scored five runs. Big damage in this game. Nate Baez, 2-for-4. Two home runs and five driven in on those home runs. Muscles out hitting the Mets 12-4. Mets made two errors. So Mets, well, that tune-up for them came yesterday then. That's how we'll say it. As Kubacek delivers the first two pitches out of the zone to Baez, Luis Baez, who's 0-for-3 from the 9 spot. And there's ball 3 low. Well, let's go through the Mets season. We've recapped some of their great records this year. As this pitch comes inside for ball 4, 4-pitch walk. Well, it started way back on April 8th, that's right. The prior series started in May, but that night up in Daytona, the Mets, there was a lot of energy, a lot of juice from that team coming out of camp, a lot of swagger and confidence. Took the two buses up to Daytona on that Friday, three-game weekend series to Daytona. And Mets did a lot of damage those first two games. I remember sitting up in Daytona writing in my scorebook saying, this is game number one of the season, so excited, and one day we're going to get to that last one in Fort Myers. And here we are, as Urbina swings and misses. But the Mets won that first series in Daytona, winning the first two games, and they were in danger of having a perfect game throwing against them in the third game. The first 17 batters in the game were retired by Julian Aguiar the third day of the season, as Urbina swings and misses and strikes out. Mets would go on to beat up Aguiar pretty good throughout the season, although he had some other good outings as well. But the bats were alive that weekend, as 9-6 opening day win, a 7-2 win in game two. And the Mets came home for a six-game series against Clearwater, our first home series of the year, first time being on MILB TV. The first day was a disaster. Didn't even get on the air. All my off-season nightmares came true in one night. But it got better and better. So the company we worked with told me, where we end up from the last game, you're going to come a long way from the first game. And we sure did. It took us a while to get there, but we did come along with MILB TV. But on the field, the Mets dominated that series, won 5 out of 6 against the Threshers, who turned out to be a decent first-half team. They finished in second place in the West Division. But remember, the Mets won the first three games, and then the Threshers, after that, had been 0-6 on the season, and they decided as a team, some players at least, they were going to walk back to the hotel. They said, we don't deserve taking the bus. We're going to walk back. And they won the next day. Clearwater did buy a run. I think the Mets stranded the tying run at third base in the ninth inning. And the Mets won the next two in the series, so 5 out of 6. And the Mets ended up only losing 6 games all first half at home. There's a pitch down and away. Mets went on the road to Jupiter. Our first trip to Roger Dean. Turned out to be 27 games down there. Lost 4-6, but returned back home and beat up on Daytona again. Took 5 out of 6 for the second straight homestand. A 10-2 start at Clover Park. As this ball is hit into center field, Kendall comes on, makes the leaning catch. Good play. He had that first fly ball deep out to center where he kind of got twisted around and dropped it. But he's had two sinking line drives. He's got good breaks on. Mets then in early May went down to Palm Beach, won the first four against Palm Beach, which was having the worst season of all the Florida State League teams at that point. So the Mets win the first four. Little did we know that Palm Beach as an organization would win 15 of the next 19 against the Mets after that four-game losing streak. But one of the best games of the season on a Thursday night when Mets went extra innings to the 11th inning. Josh Cornelli, a scoreless 10th and 11th, keeping that free runner from scoring both times. Mets ended up losing the weekend. And they lost two as this pitch is swung on and missed by Ross for a strikeout. So Kubicek bounces back from the leadoff walk, gets two strikeouts, and the nice play by Kendall. And that'll complete the seventh inning. We'll go to the eighth. It's 9-0 Fort Myers. We'll keep it right here on the broadcast. No commercial break. And, the Mets lost the last two to Palm Beach. Lost the first one at home to Lakeland. The first three-game losing streak of the season. And then they proceeded to win every game after that against Lakeland. All five. And then won the first three at Tampa to improve their record to 26-10. At that point, figured the Mets had a really good shot at winning the division. Not the Mets, as baseball tends to happen, can shake you around a bit. Mets would lose the next five on that 12-game road trip, ending three in a row losses to Tampa, and then a couple losses in a row to Dunedin. It was actually a four-game losing streak. The Mets ended up going 3-3 against Tampa and then 3-3 against Dunedin. The first of the two-week road trips was capped off by one of the best performances in the history of the St. Lucie Mets as Junior Tillian slugged three home runs on a Sunday in an 11-9 win at TD Ballpark over the Jays. Become the first St. Lucie Met ever to hit three home runs in a game. The last home run on an 11-pitch at-bat. He thought he had drawn ball four earlier in the at-bat, but he had the count wrong. It was only ball three, so he had to run back from about a quarter of the way down to first base, put his gloves back on, lock back in, and still managed to hit a home run. That was a terrific feat. That has never been done before or since. And then the Mets came back of that road trip, and they beat the tar out of Daytona again, 5-0. 5-0 against Daytona, the first of what would be three canceled games this season. It was one of the highlights of that series was Mets players coming in early on a Friday and wishing the Florida Special Olympic athletes off with a little ceremony and some lunch, and they cheered on the buses as they rolled out of town. That was fun. The guys really enjoyed getting behind those folks. That was a big deal up in Orlando with the Florida Special Olympics and USA Special Olympics up there in Orlando. Mets then went on the road and split 6 at Jupiter. Had a chance to win the division on the last game. Had a 3-0 lead late. Jupiter came back and won with the walk-off in the bottom of the ninth inning. When you look back on it now, it's almost a good thing that that happened because the Mets, it was a closed-door environment. Nobody was there to witness it. The fans weren't allowed to be a part of it. It was on the road. The Mets were hoping to clinch that day. They'd really tried. But a couple of days later, two straight wins over Tampa, they were able to celebrate their first half title Dom Hamill was a monster in that game. Six strong innings. Mets got to 20 games over 500 at that point as Malm fouls this one away. They were 39-19. Then the losing streak commenced. The next day, after the Mets maybe a little, not literally hungover, but maybe just the fact that they had finally done it, they had won the half, letdown the next day. They lost 14-2, which remains the most lopsided game of the season, although Fort Myers giving that one a run for its money with the 9-0 lead right now in the eighth. Mets got a game-saving catch from Omar De Los Santos in right field as Malm hits one out to left field. This one's traveling, caught on the warning track by Olivar. And Brad Malm flies out against Puentes to open the eighth inning. A long battle, Malm just a tad off the handle. And Tanner Murphy will come up next. Omar De Los Santos made a running catch with the bases loaded and two outs to take away a go-ahead hit for Tampa in the top of the ninth. Call challenged and it stays a ball. I believe Fort Myers might be out now. But the Mets, that was in a stretch of losing 9 of 10. So that would have been a 10-game losing streak had Omar not made that play. Good scoop and throw at third base by Cavaco. That retires Murphy. Two up, two down. Yep. So the Mets ended the first half on a losing skid, started the second half on a three-game losing streak to Palm Beach. So in that mix, the end of the first half, the start of the second half, six straight losses at the Cardinals. The only time the Mets have been swept in a six-game series all season. Mets did not sweep a six-game series. They did sweep the five-gamer from Daytona. But the Mets did their thing where they won four out of six at home against Jupiter. That started to right the ship, and in that stretch featured the Jacob deGrom rehab game on July 3rd. And Jake pitched well. That was the first time he had thrown in over a year. A big crowd, July 3rd, the biggest crowd of the night, even without deGrom pitching. So that extra buzz was tremendous. And then after that game on July 3rd, the much-deserved promotions for Consuegra and Ramirez. Alex, who had been with St. Lucie since the start of June in 2021 as a top prospect in the organization, finally got the bump up as Parada fouls this one away. Mets went to Daytona after that DeGrom first rehab start, and they took DeGrom with them. Rather, he came up late on a Friday, or later in the series on a Friday, and the Mets won that game as well. And DeGrom returning to his home area, Daytona Beach, not that far from where he grew up. So a sellout crowd was on hand. Parada hits one deep left field. Bye-bye baseball. What a shot by Kevin Parada, high into the berm. His first home run. And the Mets are on the board. Parada, on the last day of the regular season, has come alive. A double and a home run. And if you take nothing else away from this game, a lopsided score for Fort Myers, is that Kevin Parada has arrived just in the nick of time. That ball was scalded. He enjoyed it, too. He watched it, as is his right. Get the numbers on that. Came on a fastball at 91, exit velocity 102, 27-degree launch angle, and there's no distance listed, but high up at the top of the berm, right down the left field line, probably looking in the 370 range. out in a hurry, too. Ball and a strike. It's Tillian Batts, and he will swing and a miss. 1-2. The wind has really picked up blowing out to left. I think that's a sign of the incoming bad weather, although that wind had nothing to do with that ball getting out of here. It was gone regardless. 1-2 pitch. So good for Parada. You know, he was thought of as maybe the best college hitter in the draft and not had a home run as a pro yet and running out of time. So gets that monkey off his back if it was even there. Tillian bloops one into shallow right field. Backpedaling is the second baseman, and he's got it. And the inning is over. But Parada gets the Mets on the board with his first home run. Comes with two outs. And that will send this game to the bottom of the eighth. We'll keep it right here. Continue to go through the Mets' season. So DeGrom pitched that game on July 8th up in Daytona. Mets won it 5-4. Keyshawn Askew piggybacked off DeGrom. Keyshawn facing all those lefties in that Daytona lineup. Ate them alive. Mets would suffer a rainout on a Saturday, meaning they had to do the dreaded doubleheader on a Sunday getaway, which they managed to split, winning the second game 2-1. The Mets came home and faced Dunedin, and that was rained out the first day. So a doubleheader for the first day back, and the Mets swept that doubleheader, one of their two doubleheader sweeps this season, the other being yesterday. Mets would win the first three games of that series and then lose the next three, and that's how they headed into the All-Star break, the Major League All-Star break, which was 4 days off for the team, so a disappointing finish there in that series. And the Mets came out of the All-Star break, and I think they thought they were still in the All-Star break because they lost 9-0 the first game, 4-1 the second game. But the Bats finally back alive on the Sunday, beating Jupiter 8-3, snapping a five-game losing streak. And we're well into the second half now. And the Mets had a six-game series against Palm Beach. Led the series 3-2 on a Sunday. Up four runs in the top of the ninth on a Sunday. Cruising in on a 4-2 series victory. But Palm Beach, that might have been the turning point in their season. As Colby Kubicek starts the bottom of the eighth with the fastball outside to Aguiar. But the turning point for Palm Beach, because in the middle of that series, Palm Beach had all those changes. They promoted all the players who had been there for most of the season and even last year, and they worked in those seven position players drafted less than 2 weeks before. And all those guys came together that Sunday, the five-run top of the ninth inning, just shell-shocking the Mets. Mets, who had been so good at home, blowing a four-run lead in the ninth inning. And that series ended in a very disappointing 3-3 split. Mets got it right the next week when Daytona came back to town, and of course the Mets took 5 out of 6 because the Mets went 21-5 against Daytona this year. But out there was Palm Beach knowing what it could do. Aguiar takes a third strike, and Kubicek has now struck out 3 of the last 4 batters he's faced. The one gone in the bottom of the eighth inning of a 9-1 Fort Myers lead. Mets went on the road for 12 games to Clearwater and Lakeland in early and mid-August. Second 2-week road trip to the west coast of Florida. Got off to a good start that road trip. Took 4 out of 6 from Clearwater. Had a couple of crazy games in there. The Eduardo Salazar game-winning home run in the top of the ninth inning on a Friday night. And they lost on a Thursday when they scored 3 runs in the top of the 11th, only to give up 4 in the bottom half. So just a wild series there. Probably the most entertaining series of the entire year, just for those 2 games back-to-back alone. Mets ended up winning the final 3 in that series. They won the first game in Lakeland. And they were 5-2 on that road trip to start it. And they were a season high 22 games over 500 at that point, 65-43. But then Lakeland, who had been playing well, ended up turning on the Jets, won 4 in a row in that series. And that started a good run for Lakeland, where they got themselves back into the race. Mets ended up winning the final game of that series, as the Mets hit 3 home runs in that series. Justin Guerrero with a 3-run shot, as this pitch is fouled away by Cespedes. And that gave the Mets that home run by Guerrero. It gave them 18 home runs in that road trip, a remarkable feat that gave them a chance to set a home run record here in St. Lucie. It was 137 in 2005. This ball is backhanded at short by Tillian. Throws to first and retires Cespedes. 2 up, 2 down. Then the Mets were going to need to have a good final few weeks after that road trip to set the team record. But the home runs dried up when they returned home. And they lost 4 out of 5 to Palm Beach. Were limited to, I think, 1 home run that series. One win the Mets had was their craziest win of the season. And the DeAndre Smith RBI game-tying triple in the 9th. And then he scored on that same hit on a throwing error by Jeremy Rivas, the shortstop for Palm Beach. But Palm Beach probably felt like it should have won all 5 in that series. That was a series that Palm Beach essentially won the division in. That was a neck-and-neck. I think Palm Beach entered that series 1 game up in the second half. There's a ball pelted into left field by Cavaco. 2-out base knock in the 8th. But Palm Beach started to pull away with 4 wins in 5 games. The Mets, the next series, ended up taking 4-6 from Jupiter. But Palm Beach kept winning, and that has brought us to this series right here, which started off 0-2. Mets rallied to win 2 straight yesterday. And now looks like they're going to lose this last game. Down 9-1 in the 8th. We have an injury situation as Campos, the catcher, is rotating his left ankle. Kiyoshi Tada, the trainer, is out there. Or rather, that's Paul, the trainer. And I don't know if Campos is going to remain in the game. He's cramping. That's what he's doing. He's trying to stretch out his leg. Yeah, he's cramped up. So the Mets are going to bring him water. Robbie Robinson will bring him 1 cup, and Jace Beck will bring him 2nd. It has clouded up here, as we do expect bad weather late this afternoon, early evening. And the cloud cover and the breeze has helped. But, you know, these guys in full uniform, all the gear on, squatting. Yeah, it's not surprising that he's cramped. Well, this could be the end for Campos catching today. I mean, the Mets are 1 out away, and barring a 8-run ninth inning, he's not going to have to jog out there for a bottom of the 9th. So let's see if he can stay in there, as Nate Baez will fly this ball into right. Dominguez goes back. He's got it for out number 3. No runs, a hit, no errors, and 1 stranded in the 8th inning. We go to the 9th. It'll be the last half inning of the regular season. Mets trailing 9-1. I want to end the season 73-54 and 33-31 in the second half. I'm going to finish 4 games out of first place in the second half. Fort Myers going to finish 69-59, so a win short of 70. Mets will be the only 70-win team in the league, but Fort Myers 10 games over 500. They'll be 20 8-36 in the second half. And Fort Myers, you know, they won 5 in a row and then got swept yesterday. Now winning today, so they have some sort of momentum if they can just shed yesterday. The Mets, you know, if they can channel what they did yesterday, that would be helpful. Look, the playoff games, you never know how they're going to go, but one would have to think more of a chance the games are going to be like they were yesterday than today. And, you know, these things tend to be, you know, well-pitched, tight. You know, teams have had a chance now to line up their pitching. So yesterday's doubleheader games were close. Mets pitchers got out of some tough spots, overcame some walks, had some luck in Game 2 especially. There was some clutch hitting in Game 2 with, you know, a hustle single from Dominguez, a double from Smith, and then, you know, a good plate appearance and a sac fly for Bear Sierton. That's, you know, the type of playoff baseball, type of baseball you get in the playoffs. So the Mets at least passed that test yesterday. And Palm Beach got off to a good start in that Dunedin series. Didn't finish it well. Didn't play today. Canceled. 6-4 in their last 10 games. Mets 6-4 in their last 10 games. They're going to be 5-5 after today. But Palm Beach Cardinals not quite as hot as they were at the start of the week. You know, I keep hearkening back to the 2015 season as we start the top of the ninth. The Charlotte Stone Crabs were such a good first half team. They had some tremendous pitchers led by Jacob Faria, and all those guys got promoted to AA Montgomery at the end of the first half. Charlotte was terrible in the second half. They won 5 games in August. Yet, when the playoffs came, they just roasted teams. It was not close. They blew the doors off their first half opponent, and they beat Daytona badly in the first 2 games, lost game 3 in extras, and then just beat Daytona badly in a 4th game. So, you know, that's, you never know what happens in these short series. You know, for a 5-win team from the month of August to then, you know, coast through the playoffs was shocking. You know, the last time the Mets made the playoffs, they were the second half team. You thought they would have momentum in 2016. And Bradenton beat up the Mets pretty good. The first half champ Bradenton Marauders beat the Mets up badly at Clover Park. A blowout game, a closer game in the second game in Bradenton. And then the Marauders would go on to win the next series for the championship. So it's not a given that the second half team is just going to roll the first half team. And I keep saying anything can happen in a short series, and the fact that a deciding game is going to be at Clover Park certainly helps the Mets. That being said, they got to go out and do it, as Estep is called out on an automatic strike. That's the way this game has gone.
Strike called on number 12, Chase Estep.
So Estep apparently not alert to the pitcher. A tough finish for Chase, 0-for-4, 3 strikeouts today. Robbie Robinson is going to come out and argue this with Rob Ginther, the umpire. Well, Estep smashes his bat right next to the discussion happening with Robbie and Ginther. Now, you don't want to lose an at-bat like that if you're Estep. And on a frustrating day, no doubt, but you don't want your last at-bat of the regular season to be an automatic strike call on you. I didn't see it. He was in the box. So Ginther called a couple of auto balls on Fort Myers yesterday. There might have been an ejection there. Ginther marking something in his scorebook. I didn't see him give the heave-ho. He did give a point. I don't know who that was towards. Robbie's still in the dugout. So one down. Dominguez 0 for 4, his last at-bat of the regular season. Been sitting on 20 home runs for, gosh, over 3 weeks now. Finishes as the league leader, second in the league in RBI. As he takes this one low. 0 for 3 today. Strikeout, double play, and line out. And he flies this down the right side. And that's going to be caught by Aguiar. Two down.
Now batting for the Mets, number
38. One out to go in the 2022 regular season. Bear Sierta will try to extend it. He's 0 for 3. Pitch comes in and it's fouled away. New pitcher, by the way, Devilson Aria, lefty who appeared for two scoreless innings on Tuesday. Ground ball back to Aria. He fields it. He'll jog it towards first, underhand flip to the bag, and the game and the regular season is over. Fort Myers wins the regular season finale 9-1. They take 3 of 5 in the series, snapping the Mets' mini two-game winning streak. And now it's playoff time for both teams. Maybe a week from today, the Mets are right back here at Hammond Stadium to face the Muscles. But the Muscles must get through Dunedin. The Mets must get through their nemesis, Palm Beach. Fort Myers formed that happy high-five line between the mound and second. The Mets already packing up the dugout, heading back into the clubhouse. I hope that they will be able to form that happy high-five line a few more times this season. Mets will end the season 73-56, 33-31 in the second half. Fort Myers 69-59 overall, 28-36 in the second half. Mets will wind up 30-35 on the road after going 43-21 at home. Muscles will finish 34-28 at home. They went 35-31 on the road. The winning pitcher today, it's up to the score, but I'm guessing it's going to be LaValle or Wilson. The losing pitcher was Suarez. Hopefully the Mets can get him another start, as he did not record an out today and throwing 32 pitches. No postgame show. I think we wrapped it up enough today to the delayed start. And then the lengthy game won by Fort Myers as they had the 5-0 lead in the blink of an eye. Next up, the Palm Beach Cardinals. Mets in the playoffs for the first time since 2016. They have not won a playoff game in over 10 years. They have not won a playoff series since 2011. They're looking to change all that starting Tuesday night. We will be radio only at Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium. If you are local on the Treasure Coast, gates will be open at Roger Dean for the first time on a Tuesday this year. So come on out, root on the Mets in person. If not, you can listen on stluciemets.com or the First Pitch app. Myself will be joined by John DeStefano. And then game two will be on MILB TV on Thursday. But Tuesday, game one, the Mets and Cardinals. First pitch is scheduled for 6:30. We'll go airtime on the St. Lucie Mets Baseball Network at 6:20. Well, folks, that'll do it for this game, this broadcast, and this season, the regular season, that is. Final score from Fort Myers, the Mighty Muscles 9, the Mets 1. I'm Adam McDonald. Thank you so much for making the Mets part of your Sunday afternoon. Hope all of you out there in Radio Land have a pleasant remainder of your day, and we will talk to you in the playoffs on Tuesday. Can't wait.
This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of the St. Lucie Mets and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of the St. Lucie Mets.